gentlemen, welcome to the War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, coming to you live this Tuesday afternoon, 30th of December. Hope everybody's doing well. It's going to be a bit of a different show today. Bit of a different show because I went on at around 2, or around 1, I guess. And I've been arguing online for the last hour. So I don't have a daily dispatch to give you. I've got a bunch of news from today. To be honest, it's a little bit of a slow news day, and a lot of the energy is being sucked up, at least in my Twitter feed, by this Candace Owens thing. I guess I'm lucky I have a radio show where I can just talk about this because, man, nothing makes sense on Twitter. Everything is insane on Twitter, folks. And so if you're not playing along on Twitter, I'll try to give you the quick rundown. But essentially last night, I do a Twitter space with Candace Owens talking about this Fort Wachaca conundrum, this saga. And at some point in this, they ask about the fact that I, a month before Charlie Kirk's murder, tweeted out that I'd heard that Charlie Kirk was afraid that if he went against Israel, they would kill him. And they asked me who my source was, and I said, my sources asked me not to say, so I'm not going to say. And I was like, okay, that's fine. Then, like, people were posting that clip, and it was going around online today, people going, you know, Harrison says he never told the FBI, and the FBI's never reached out to me, they've never contacted me, nobody's ever asked me about how I knew that. The thing is, it's not my information. I was reporting what somebody told me. I don't actually know. Well, I do now, but I never did. I mean, they could have gotten in contact with that person. There's also other people that have made exactly the same claim. I'm the only one that made it publicly before the assassination, but I know since the assassination, multiple people have made this claim, including people that were not my source, have made the claim to Candace Owens herself and Max Blumenthal. So there's at least three people who have all made this claim from firsthand knowledge. I'm making it from secondhand knowledge. Regardless, I wake up this morning to a phone call from a journalist buddy who says, hey, there's a guy in D.C., there's an official, you know, that wants to talk to you about the space last night. And I said, all right, have him call me. So they give me a call and they say, hey, you know, I know you had this source and I'm not asking you to give up the source. You know, you want to protect your source and I would never ask you to betray that. But if you have any more information, if your source wants to talk to us, I'd love to hear from him. So I go, okay, great. I'll tell him. Hang up, call my source. Hey, man, this agency just reached out to me. They want to know if you want to talk to him. Turns out my source and the official kind of know each other. So I was like, oh, yeah, I'll call him and let him know. So I connect the source. So then I go online and all these people are going, why is Harrison not? Why would he not tell anybody? And I go, hey, guys, here's an update. They reached out to me. They want to talk to my source. I put them in contact with my source. Okay. Again, does this make sense? Does this follow? Is this logical? I don't know. I mean, apparently I'm crazy. Apparently I'm covering things up. Apparently I'm like, and it's weird. Like, this is how it happened, right? People are like, why don't you tell the FBI? I go, hey, here's an update. They contact me, ask me if my source wanted to say anything. So I connected my source. Then people are like, I can't believe you'd give up your source like that. Like, I didn't give up my source. I told my source a phone number to call if they wanted to reach out. My source said, oh, yeah, I'll reach out. But it's like nothing I do. It's like, oh, why didn't you tell the FBI? I don't know. They never reach out to me. But, hey, now I have told somebody. Well, why did you tell somebody? Well, I didn't just tell them who my source was. I put them in contact with my source. Why would you put them in contact? Oh, this is very suspicious. I used to trust you, but now I don't know. And I'm just like, what did I do? What am I doing wrong? Somebody tell me what I'm doing that's giving you the impression that I'm being anything other than perfectly honest about all of this. What do I need to do? Should I live stream my life 24/7? They wouldn't even trust that. Jesus Christ. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
RFK Jr. shocked many when he sat down for a meal with Fox's Sean Hannity. The pair dined at fast food chain Steak and Shake, eating burgers and fries in a bid to highlight the chain's switch to frying their food in beef tallow, which is a healthier alternative to traditionally used seed oils.
I am so excited. After over a year, we have the highest quality private labeled beef tallow out there. You heard RFK Jr. rave about it, the health effects, how good it is. This sucker is boom heavy. This is high quality. It is very competitively priced, and it funds this whole operation. It is optimal human beef tallow, grass-fed from thealexjonesstore.com. It is night and day compared to all these other fats and all these trans fats and all of the seed oils that are so toxic, especially when you heat them. Not this. It is so good. It is now available, discounted, at thealexjonesstore.com.
You're watching The War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now on X.com.
Annihilate. All right, welcome back, folks. We do have a packed show for you today. I'm going to be joined in just a few minutes by Patrick Byrne. He's got some breaking news about the war with Venezuela. Then we'll be joined in studio by Elizabeth Lane. She was just on with Alex. She wants to talk about Candace Owens. She wants to kind of defend her, so I'm sure we'll hash out some of this stuff with her at 4 o'clock. And then I'll be joined at 5 o'clock by Ivan Raiklin, who is there, I guess, as we speak, in the hearing with the January 6th pipe bomber. So we'll be getting some updates to the January 6th pipe bomber story. But again, you know, I think I'm being trolled. I think it's the same thing that happened. Remember last, it was a week ago today, that I basically said the same thing, that it's like I'm being gaslit by Candace Owens' audience into thinking I'm gaslighting them. Remember last Tuesday I was going, what am I even supposed to be gas? I don't even know what your claim is, so I don't even know what it is I'm supposed to be gaslighting you about. What is your theory of the case so we can discuss it? And I can't get a theory. I can't get a claim. The claims they do make, they then say, oh, no, we never made that claim. And it's just like, what are we doing here, folks? And it is frustrating because, again, I literally am just completely upfront. Like, I wish I was this conniving, you know, Machiavellian person. I'd probably be wealthier. I'd probably be richer. I'd probably have more stuff. I'm just not that. Like, I got no special attributes. All I can do is literally just tell you what I think is going on and tell you what I think the truth is and bring you information as it comes to me. And that's all I do. Okay. Yeah, this is it. So, again, people are like, oh, my God, why would you not tell the government who your source is? It's like, well, they never asked. I don't know. I'm not going to. How do you even call the FBI? I don't even know what that means. I mean, I made the tweet. It was public. It's been public the whole time. I've done interviews about it. It's been like an international news story. If the FBI ever wanted to reach out, they've got my number. They never did. That's my fault, apparently. That makes me suspicious. I should have called the FBI and said, hey, FBI, I know you're working this Charlie Kirk case. Well, I heard months ago from a friend that he heard that it's just like, I guess I could do that. I mean, at the time, I talked to my source and was like, so are you gonna talk about it? And they're like, yeah, maybe. I'm trying to mind. And the whole thing is, from the beginning, let me explain exactly how this went down, all right? 100%. Just telling you the truth. Look into it all you want. I don't know. Again, it's not even like I guess I am mad. No, I guess I am just mad that I'm being accused of being fake when it's just like, what do I have to do? I don't know. It's not fun being perfectly honest and forthright and having a bunch of people being like, if you're exposed, shill. And it's just like, am I not just being completely honest about it, literally everything? So Diligent Denizen, last night, Harris Smith disclosed the FBI has not reached out to him despite him posing about a credible threat to Charlie Kirk's life 2 weeks before he was shot. So a little bit more on that. This is why we are investigating Charlie's assassination, because our government is not. So again, everybody's, you know, making a big stink about this. So I just say, hey, here's an update. This morning, they reached out to me and I put them in contact with my source. I didn't expose my source. I never told the government who my source was. They told me, have your source call us. I gave my source the phone number and said, they want you to call. Call if you want. That was that. I'm a bad guy. That was all. This is all part of a sophisticated operation, I guess. I don't know, dude. I get calls. Hey, this is whoever. Heard you have a source. Would the source reach out to me? Yeah, maybe he will. I don't know. I'll contact him. Thanks for reaching out. Bye. Hey, the FBI wants to talk to you. Here's the number. Okay, maybe I'll call later. Bye. Okay, that's how it happened. I don't know. That's how it worked. That's how it went down. And then it's just like, I can't believe Harrison would give up his source like that. The government demanded and he folded like a cheap bag. It's like, I didn't give up the source. I didn't give up any source, so... So what did I do wrong? What have I done wrong here? What have I done wrong? I've pointed out that this whole thing is weird. This whole Candace Owens saga is unlike any other conspiracy theory I've ever investigated. And I've been here behind the scenes and in front of the scenes for the biggest conspiracy theories in the history of the world. The biggest conspiracies, the Vegas shooting, COVID-19, the lockdown, like, there has never been a situation like this where so many people are so desperate to prove that, like, we're in on it, that, like, everybody except for them is part of the cover-up, and if you don't agree with them completely, you must be a paid agent of the enemy. It's like there are aspects of that in every conspiracy, but it's never been like this. This is so weird. It's so bizarre. And then you say that, and it's like, well, that's just proof that you're the one doing it. And it's like, no, it's just weird. This whole thing is totally bizarre. And I'm not here to be questioned by random anonymous accounts on X. Like, I don't owe you anything. I don't owe you anything. I haven't done anything. I don't owe an explanation. You're not my boss. You're not the president of the United States. So it's like, I just go out of my way to be like, hey, these people want to know about the source. I'll let them know. Hey, guys, you're so concerned. Good news. The source is now in contact with the authorities. Isn't that what you wanted? And they're just like, how dare you? How dare you try to trick us like this? And I'm just like, and they're just like, well, what agency? What agency was it then, Harrison? And it's just like, screw you. How about that? How about the agency is your mom? How about that's the answer? Who are you to question me? Why are you questioning me? Why do you think I owe you an answer? It's crazy. It's crazy. I don't know. Am I the one? Am I being a jerk? I'm telling you everything you want to know, and I'm being questioned about it. And every question I answer gets completely misinterpreted, turned completely inside out. Anyway, it's all completely retarded. So there's that. So there that is. We'll go to this video. This is me talking in the space. This is a video that I know Alex wanted me to play in full. So we'll play all eight minutes here. But yeah, that's what's unfolded. That's what's unfolded since then. All right, maybe we'll hang on to the. I've rambled too long, so we'll go to that video in just a little bit. But I do understand we have Patrick Byrne on the line here. And I know, Patrick, you have been eager to get some information on the airwaves. Patrick Byrne, of course, can be followed on X at Patrick Byrne. And you can find his docuseries at enemywithindocuseries.com. Patrick Byrne, entrepreneur, libertarian, champion of America First policies. He recently appeared in the Enemy Within docuseries, which is streaming on Rumble and Amazon Prime. And again, can be found at enemywithindocuseries.com. Patrick, thank you so much for joining us today.
Harrison, Merry Christmas and Happy New Year.
Merry Christmas, Happy New Year to you, sir. I'm excited to hear the bombshell you have to drop on us here, because I know you're eager to make this known. What do you have for us?
Well, I have two things. One of them is just an appetizer, and one of them is the order, the entree. Okay.
Okay.
The appetizer is just a little bit of humor. It's been pointed out to me the humor in this. In October, the Department of Justice indicted the corporation of Smartmatic.
Right.
Now, when a DOJ indicts a corporate, but in November, the EAC recertified their whole line of election equipment. And I guess, does that seem odd? Oh, somebody's pointed out to me that I should make that. You know, when the DOJ indicts a corporation, it's not like indicting an employee of this, an employee of that. They're saying this corporation is a criminal enterprise. So in October, the DOJ is saying it's a criminal enterprise, and the Election Assistance Corporation, it's as if they certified the equipment of the Genovese family or the Gambino right. family. Does it make any sense to you?
It's the corporation is corrupt and has been indicted, but they're also in charge of our elections still. Yeah, yeah. That doesn't make a lot of sense.
It's where the DOJ is saying this is a criminal organization, and yet the next month our EAC, that's the epitome. That's in a 22-year history of studying regulatory capture, I have to say, that's the funniest I've ever heard. Okay, you ready to move on to the entree?
Yeah, I don't know if funny is the right way to put it, but that's something. You know, it is, and from a certain angle, that is funny, but good Lord. Okay, all right, that's the appetizer. Give us the main course now.
I'm going to explain what's really been delaying things about kicking off this show in Venezuela.
Okay.
You ready? And it's more deep state mischief. It's in the interest of the Venezuelan cartel, which is to say the Venezuelan government, that the war be delayed as long as possible. This could have been kicked off about 45 days ago, but it's been just this operation boa constrictor tightening and tightening, which is, they got their logic, which I'll be getting to. But their goal is to delay this another 30, 60 days. If we really get into election season, Trump can't kick this off. His hands are tied. And then after that, so it's in the interest of the Venezuelan regime to delay this into, you know, February at least, maybe even March. Guess who's been helping them?
Oh, wait, I think you told me last time, didn't you?
This is new.
Oh, it's a new guy.
New information.
Okay, who's this?
It's not a new guy. This is the intelligence community, the CIA. The CIA has been telling Trump that if you just put a stranglehold, blockade, it's the intelligence community is telling Trump that if you just put a blockade on Venezuela, they're going to fall in 20 to 30 days. Well, those of us who are familiar with the Venezuelan regime think that is the funniest joke of 2025. They have stolen our real, we actually have a really good measure now, and it looks like they stole $2.7 trillion in the last 25 years. They have it in banks. They have it all over the world. They can survive for months, maybe years, under financial blockade. There's no country better prepared on earth to survive financial blockade than Venezuela. So the people telling Trump that, oh, if you just blockade them and delay this, oh, in 20, 30 days, they're going to run out of, you know, everything, and they'll surrender. They're tricking Trump to play into the hands. That's exactly what the regime wants, because the truth is they can easily last through this year. They got $2.7 trillion, this criminal enterprise has to, and if they can just get Trump to buy that, and to buy that he can kick this out into February or so, it's the absolute worst, then it becomes impossible for him to launch. But it's the intelligence community, and they are playing the hand of the top of our intelligence community, the top of our CIA, the top two floors are captured by China. I think there are clear, well, I shouldn't say everybody there, but at some point I've got to reveal something that really, I hate to dig up ancient history, but that really reveals a Chinese connection into the top of the CIA. Anyway, Sleeping Dogs Lie, but so in any case, the thing that has been slowing down Trump on Venezuela, while the military has been saying, well, I shouldn't comment, but the military has been ready to go for quite some time, is the intelligence community is telling Trump, sit on your hands, don't worry, if you just blockade them, this will take care of himself. It's a, they're setting him up. It's a flat lie, and they're getting him, the more they, if they can get him to buy that for another 30 days, then the arguments start going to be whispered in his ear. Oh, listen, it's election season. What is it going to do to you in the polls if you start this now? So they're playing, they're making Trump play right into the hand of the cartel.
So last time you were here, I think you dropped a pretty big bombshell. And unless I'm wrong, I think it was Rick Grenell that had traveled down to meet with Maduro. And that was sort of an exclusive that you dropped on us here. Is it the same characters causing this delay, do you think?
No, I'm not asserting that. Well, in general, the people who have been, there have been people who have been at most asserting the delay. Well, first, there's been a group of people trying to convince Trump there's a way to solve this without war. Yeah, they did this. Yeah, they were actually, they're still denying that they rigged the election in 2020. Todd Blanche, at least until a week or two ago, was still telling people there's no evidence that the 2020 election was, that there was enough fraud that was outcome determinative, which is some, you know, a lot of syllables that sound like it's official. These guys are schmucks. It's silly. At that point, that's kind of not even something I'm going to bother answering. Would you agree that that's, I mean, you've paid attention to this issue, Harrison.
Well,
right?
Yeah.
What do you say to that?
This is the way, I mean, you've hit it on the head. The way that they've covered up the election theft from 2020 from the beginning is that exact rhetorical trick. They say, There is no verifiable claims of widespread election fraud that would determine the outcome of the election. So what they're saying is this wasn't everywhere. There wasn't fraud in every state and every city, but that was never our claim. Our claim was that there were about five major metropolitan areas that if you could capture those, you could swing the entire election. And that's where all the malfeasance and all the curious, you know, goings on happened on election night. And so that's exactly what they always say is, well, there wasn't widespread to the point that it would affect the outcome. But we know that's not true.
At the risk of offending my Muslim friends who are watching, Muslims have a way of doing that, too. When you point out the atrocities that they commit, they go from saying that's not happening to saying, well, I'm not aware of it's happening, to saying, well, it may be happening, but it's not, there's not much of it, to saying, well, yeah, it is happening, but it's supposed to happen because
the wheel of conspiracy, yeah, ever turns.
So similarly, we've reached that, we've moved along that ladder here where they're saying, well, it didn't happen at all. There's no evidence of it happening. They're saying, well, maybe it happened a little, but it's, you know, it wasn't outcome determinative.
Right.
Okay. It's silly. It's silly at this point. So, I mean, if they really, these are the same schmucks who think they can redesign what the new world should look like. The same people, if they're real, I think they're gaslighting us and they're lying to us. They can see it. But even if we take them at their word and they can't see it, I'd say those are the same schmucks who want to redesign the world. Anyway, you see, but this is, I've gotten some, this isn't, when I say, when I bring something like this to you, it's not a guess. I'm telling you, the intelligence community is trying to undermine Trump again by getting him to play into this Venezuelan lie.
See, that's
this Venezuelan thing that, oh, if we just cut them off 20 or 30 days, they'll be done. The truth is they got trillions abroad. They're totally fine. That will get them into the election day and into the election season. Once Trump's there, his hands are tied. That's what's going on.
I have two questions, because it always seemed to me like Trump, you know, we know Trump doesn't like war. One of the things he always brings up is he is the first president in a century to not start a war. So I've always interpreted it as like he wants to go as far as he can with Venezuela, but I've always felt like he didn't really want to start the war. But that's kind of what you're telling me is kind of contradictory to that. You're saying he wants to start the war, but the intelligence agencies are kind of delaying him.
Well, the intelligence, look, I'm against war too. I'm a Milton Friedman guy. There's been no more necessary war since the revolution than this war. Well, I'd say it's neck and neck with the Civil War. This is national resistance. These people overthrew our country, and they're still at it. So this is the most important war. This is World War III. All you Gen Zers who gripe, we never got our chance. We hear about the greatest generation, but we never got our chance. This is your chance. You're in World War III. You just,
careful what you wish for, I guess. So the latest out of Venezuela is that Trump hit a drug distribution center. This to me seems like a pretty big escalation. It seems like we've gone from gunboat diplomacy to, is this an escalation that's meaningful?
Actually, he hit two things. He hit something that was a port facility for the drug boats. In addition, he hit a chemical storage place. That was the storage where they were storing the precursors for the drugs. That's where Venezuela, one of the roles it plays. These schmucks who say, oh, Venezuela is only responsible for this percent or that percent of the fentanyl. They don't understand. First of all, there's much higher percent of the precursors. Secondly, that's not the issue. The issue is they're the headquarters of the cartel system. So yeah, the U.S. hit a place where the drug boats were loading, and they hit a place where the chemicals are stored. But Trump is being cautioned. Don't go farther. We're going to make it tight. Do it this way. In another couple of weeks, they're going to be strangled. It's a lie. They got crypto. They got cash. They're fine. The people can't do anything. I've been to Venezuela in 2018. Their military is completely organized for suppression. More than three people get together on a sidewalk. You are now there's female National Guard members all over. They have this perfected. They're going to be able to really fight a long time. So Trump is being misled by the intelligence community, who are telling him, oh, don't go in, hotheads. We can do this. You know, the regime is going to survive a lot longer than the Venezuelan population.
So if they're trying to set up Trump to lose, it sounds like they are trying to set up Trump to lose, and they think that if Trump starts a war with Iran, the sooner the better for Trump, and they're trying to delay it to give him the worst possible chance.
That's correct. Yeah. In fact, I'll just tell you something shameful. The head of military intelligence of Venezuela is sitting in a prison, willing to cooperate. Let him out. He can tell so much about what the plan is. Should the U.S. do this, that?
Is he in prison here in America?
Yeah, he's sitting in New York. His name is Hugo Carvajal. The CIA is blocking that from happening. The DOD, it could save American lives if they could interview him. The DOD, the CIA will not let that happen. And they kept the DOJ from letting it happen. He got this proffer out anyway. It's costing American lives. He's willing to help the United States forces avoid casualties, as you say, and they cannot meet with him because of the CIA.
Well, that's been the story of this whole Trump administration, is this shadow war between obviously the deep state and the Trump administration. So very exciting element of this. So what do you think is next? We only have about 30 seconds left. What do you think is the next step for Venezuela? What should be the next step?
Oh, well, Trump's next step is like that thing you see on the wall sometime, the glass case, in case of emergency, break glass. In case of war, break glass. I'm the guy who came up with that meme. I said that maybe on your show about Flynn. Make Flynn your national security advisor. You can go golfing. This is over. This is a 30-day problem for
Mike Flynn. Just like everything else with Trump. Get the right people around you, and we can solve these issues. Man, he is surrounded.
This is a 30-day problem for Mike Flynn.
Right.
Domestic and abroad.
He just needs the right people around him. Patrick Byrne, thanks so much for being here with us. Follow him at Patrick Byrne.
Let me tell you about this. Our sponsor, Bigly, and the products they have at theelectionstore.com are whatever the highest source, best quality, highest rated products are, we go out and private label them, and in some cases, soup them up, make them even better. So we did a year ago a survey, what do listeners want? And you wanted methylene blue, you wanted beef tallow that Kennedy talks about, which I know is great for cooking and is so much better for you than seed oils, and you wanted high-quality Shilajit. We brought you all the best. They've sourced the best. This is so heavy. This is so huge. Tiny little scoop of this with whatever you're cooking makes it taste so great, whether it's potatoes, whether it's eggs, whatever you're cooking. Beef tallow is so delicious. It's just concentrated beef tallow, private label from the top ones in the country. No preservatives, no artificial ingredients, gluten-free, packed with nutrients. Unlike seed oils, which are fake toxic garbage, beef tallow is real food that promotes whole body health. Get 25% off now when you become a subscriber today and then lock in a bigger discount. Cancel any time for free at alexjonesstore.com. Beef tallow has been all the rage. It's what the listeners asked for. We've got the best for you right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And separately, creatine of the highest quality type of creatine, 5 milligram gummies, huge container of them. Look into neurological studies, Alzheimer's, you name it. It's so good for young people, old people. Everybody needs it. Got it, 2 flavors, thealexjonesstore.com. And it's your funding this operation that makes it all possible. I need your support. I am funded by you. I am supported by you. And I'm battling the Democrat Party law firms that have been trying to shut us down. And we've been winning thanks to your support. But it takes money to fight this war. So don't wait. Get our creatine gummies. Get the new incredible beef tallow. Just as amazing or more is the bovine colostrum. The first 2 weeks from cow's milk is the ultimate combo of super nutrients. You name it, for your immune system, your clarity, your focus, your hair, your skin, your nails. It's crazy. These are the best products. These are amazing. They will change your life. TheAlexJonesStore.com. And if you're going to buy anything there, become a VIP. $30 a month. Cancel anytime for free. When you become a VIP in your profile, you get $40 to spend instantly, making $10. Special deals, special offers, special sales on everything. So if you're buying anything at TheAlexJonesStore.com, become a VIP. Cancel anytime. TheAlexJonesStore.com. Thank you for standing with us. We'll never back down, never give in, but we couldn't give out without your support. So you are the reason we're still here, and I thank you and salute you for it. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
Welcome to TheAlexJonesStore.com, the home of real solutions. Fuel your day with Ultimate Burn and Ultra Methylene Blue. Replenish and recharge with Ultimate Sea Moss or delicious Shilajit gummies. Stay sharp, stay stylish with our t-shirts and sweatshirts. Perfect for any season. Don't wait. Tap into real gear and real supplements at TheAlexJonesStore.com. Power up today.
Force filled with incredible ingredients, ladies and gentlemen. Ultimate Power ignites mental clarity and focus, clean, sustained energy, enhanced blood flow and endurance, supports daily cognitive function. Ultimate Power at TheAlexJonesStore.com.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
You're listening to The War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at X.com.
The saga continues, folks. This is amazing. I can actually bring you up to the minute, up to the second updates about how the PSYOP is going, about how everything I say gets completely deliberately misinterpreted for some reason. I don't know. Again, I'm all what have I done? What have I done to make people treat me like this? I genuinely want to know. So again, to, you know, I respond to Diligent Citizen, who's, you know, saying that I'm suspicious because I never will say who my source is. By the way, I mean, this whole thing is strange because this is exactly how it goes. I'm talking to somebody at Ron Paul's birthday. We're talking about Zionism. I bring up Charlie Kirk. I say, I think Charlie Kirk is turning away from Zionism, but I think he's scared because I think he's going to lose all of his donors if he does that. I think he's in a tough spot. I think he's losing credibility because he won't denounce Israel, because he won't speak out about the atrocities they're committing. But I think he is in, but he's between a rock and a hard place, because if he comes out about Israel, he loses his funding. So I feel like he's in a tough spot. And the person I'm talking to says, oh, well, he thinks Israel's going to kill him. I said, what? Oh, yeah. He says he thinks if he turns away from Israel, that Israel's going to kill him. And I said, oh, that's kind of crazy. But this is a private conversation between two people. Now I thought, this could potentially be newsworthy. This is something maybe people should know. Also, it's, you know, just self-congratulations, because I had just done the day before a video where I was taking Charlie's public appearances and reading into him and going, I think I see what's going on here. I think he's scared. Only to have that confirmed from a source who knows. So then I tweeted out. And to be honest, I probably shouldn't have tweeted out. I didn't have permission to tweet it out. I was just in a private conversation with somebody that I later, you know, tweeted about. I didn't ask them. I didn't say, hey, do you mind if I tweet out that you told me that? Because I didn't know. Because I didn't know it was going to be a freaking, you know, prediction. I didn't know that a month later, Charlie Kirk would be killed and that tweet would suddenly become incredibly important. So, you know, I just sort of fired off going, hey, people might want to know this. And then later it comes up on Moonbase Live, when we're talking to Jake Shields and my co-host John, and we're talking about Charlie Kirk. He's like, oh, you should tell him about what you heard about Charlie Kirk. So I'm like, all right, yeah, I reiterate that. But then it become, then Charlie Kirk actually gets murdered and becomes this like giant scandal. And Netanyahu is up there being asked to disavow and asked to, you know, claim he's innocent about the murder. And I reached out to my source and was like, I don't know, people are asking me, should I? And he's like, I don't want to be involved. I don't want to be a part of an international murder conspiracy. It's got like the number one news story in the world. So he didn't want to be mentioned. So it's like, what would be such a dirtbag to like be publishing this guy's conversation without his permission and then like publishing his name because random strangers are asking me to, like, that I'm just not ever going to do that. So it's, again, what have I done wrong? What did I misbehave here? Should I have betrayed his confidence? Anyway, so today when he calls me, so this is another aspect to it. As I laid out before, I get a call from this government agent. Hey, if your source wants to talk to us, tell him to reach out. I call my source. Hey, this government agent just reached out to me. If you want to reach out to him, you know, maybe you can provide him something. And I'm talking to him and I'm saying that, you know, this is Candace thing. And he goes, well, you know, I told George Farmer that I was your source. George Farmer is Candace's husband. He's like, yeah, months ago, I told him I was the source of that. Then I'm like, oh, that's funny. But Candace knows. Now, apparently George Farmer had not told her. That's on me. I did assume that if George Farmer knew something, Candace Owens would know it too, since she's the one that asked, like, about my source. So I assume she's interested. She would have been told this from George Farmer. So I comment that. So under this diligent Denizen post where he, you know, talks about me not reporting it to the FBI, I say, well, do you want to hear something really funny? When I talked to my source today, he revealed that he told George Farmer that he was my source months ago. So Candace has known who my source is this whole time. Is that not accurate? I mean, that's what he told me. So I'm putting it forward, right? Because if everybody's good demonizing me about not revealing my source, well, Candace knows who my source is, so demonize her. It's not me. So then Candace says, I literally have no idea what you're talking about. Is the implication here that I'm lying? Because I'll gladly ask George and publish the source's name. Update, George also has no idea what the hell you're talking about. Obviously is we had received some news that Charlie thought he was going to be killed while he was alive. We would have contacted Charlie immediately to see what was up. Okay, I never claimed that they knew this before he was alive. Then she comes back again. Double update. Your source just texted George and said he was your source. We just learned that today. For clarity, George received a text message from him, from my source, 7 days after Charlie was killed. You were not mentioned in that communication. And obviously, we had already broken the story that Charlie was warring with the pro-Israel lobby by then. You framed this tweet in a way to make it seem as though we were informed before Charlie's assassination, and as if we had any idea it was related to your pre-assassination tweet. Like, what does she mean? You framed this tweet in a way to make it seem as though we were informed before Charlie's assassination. Like, where is she getting this? I didn't say that. I said he revealed he told George Farmer that he was my source months ago. And that's what he said. Now, apparently, He texted George Farmer 7 days after the murder. That would be months ago, right? So he texted him months ago saying he was the source. I guess he didn't mention me, but my source said he did, right? He said, George Farmer, I told George Farmer I was your source. So that's what I said. So again, it's like, okay, when I talked to my source today, he revealed that he told George Farmer that he was my source months ago. Okay, Candace confirms that. 7 days after the assassination, my source texted her husband and told him about that. Apparently I wasn't mentioned, but, my source said it was, but whatever. So again, it's like, okay, so what I said is true, right? Everything I said is true. I guess I just assumed that George Farmer would tell his wife, but I get that was an assumption on my part. I admit. So maybe Candace didn't know because George didn't tell her. I don't know why he wouldn't, but if she was so interested, she could have asked, at any point. But this is what I'm talking about. So I say the truth, right? My source tells me, hey, I told George Farmer I was your source months ago. Oh, that's interesting. I typed that up. When I talked to my source today, he revealed to me that he told George Farmer he was my source months ago. Candace somehow transmogrifies that into me claiming that she had foreknowledge of the assassination, and I'm therefore claiming she's a liar because my tweet was framed in a way. You framed your tweet in a way to make it seem as though you were informed, as though we were informed before Charlie's assassination, and as if we had any idea it was related to your pre-assassination tweet. No, I didn't. I did not frame a tweet in any way. I just said what happened, and you now acknowledge that is what happened. So how did I frame it in a way to make it seem like you knew about this beforehand? Like, this is what I mean. You're watching this live. This literally happened during the commercial break just now. Am I the crazy one? Why am I being accused of accusing Candace of knowing about Charlie's, threat before he was murdered? I never said that. This is this is the thing. People are like, wow, you're getting really emotional. It's not like I'm not like mad at it. It's just frustrating. It's just like, what can I do? I say, hey, my source told George Farmer he was my source months ago. Candace Owens comes back. What the hell are you talking about? I have no idea what you're talking about. Okay, sure. The source did tweet my husband. It was months ago. Okay, so I did know. But actually, you're saying that it was before the assassination, and we would have called Charlie to check on him. And it's like, so this is the thing. I'm not like, oh, you're getting emotional as if it's like, oh, my house of cards is falling down. No, I'm just like, what is the point of me trying to communicate with you people when you just hear things I don't say, when you are hallucinating like a badly programmed AI? You're just hearing things that I don't say and then attacking me on that. I didn't accuse Candace Owens of anything. I said she knows who my source is, or at least her husband does. And he did, because that's what my source said. I'm not, like, point out to me anywhere in this situation that I've lied, that I've accused Candace Owens of, like, covering anything up, that I've accused Candace Owens of knowing about the murder before it happened and failing to do anything. But I'm the bad guy. I'm telling you, you're seeing it in real time, folks. You're seeing it in real time. All I say is that my source texted George Farmer months ago to tell him that he was my source. Candace Owens somehow hallucinates that that is me framing the tweet in a way to make it seem as though we were informed caps lock before Charlie's assassination. Am I the crazy one, or is that a hallucination? Can somebody explain to me how she perceived that accusation from my tweet? Yeah, it's frustrating. It's very frustrating. Oh my God. But that's the thing. It's like, it's a lose-lose situation. That's what Candace Owens is good at setting up. Lose-lose situations. If you don't respond, whoa, you're guilty, right? If I don't go on the space last night, oh, you're scared to go on the space. Whoa, you'd get defeated. You say, okay, all right, fine, I'll go on the space. But it doesn't matter. But it doesn't matter. Because no matter what I say on the space, no matter how truthful I'm being, no matter how upfront, forthright, perfectly clear I'm being, people just hallucinate things I don't say and then attack me over it. What have I done? What am I getting wrong here? I really want to know. You know that you have examples of people covering things up. Like, you know what it looks like when the Ben Shapiros and the Mark Levins are all trying to scheme and say things like, is that what I look like? Do I look like that to you? Do I look like somebody who's part of a coordinated effort? Do I look like somebody who's being told what to say? I mean, I'm responding to things that are appearing this instant. Nobody is telling me to say this. You know, the first week I did War Room, about 3 months ago, I asked the crew, because on American Journal, we used to do it more where like the crew would say things and it'd be on air. And so I asked the crew, hey, can you make it to where your guys' microphone's back there where they talk to me in this little earpiece? I said, will you make it so that audio goes through so everybody can hear it? And so they started working on it and they messed up. And so for the first week, the entire first week that we were doing War Room, you can still go back. We didn't change it. You can still go back and watch the episodes from the first week that I was doing War Room after Owen quit. And the mics are open the entire time. So you can hear the crew when there's a video playing. You can hear them in my ear going, 10 seconds left, 5 seconds left, right? When I'm in a monologue, you can hear the crew go in my ear and go, hey, Trump's live. Do you want to take it? And that's it. For a week, we left this earpiece open. You can hear everything that's said to me. Nothing is said to me. Nobody is telling me what to say. I have no teleprompter. I have nobody saying anything in my ear. I have nobody directing me. So it's a little frustrating constantly being told I'm part of some operation and that any attempt to say that I'm not is somehow proof that I am. It's annoying. It's very annoying. But all I can say is I'm glad the InfoWars audience knows how to judge things, I would hope. Anyway, we'll go to this video now. We'll go to the clip of the live stream yesterday or the space, the Twitter space yesterday. We'll go to this full, however long, 8 minute long one. Yeah, fixed the Candace X space here. Yes, 8 minutes and 46 seconds. Thank you, crew. Let's go to this video. We'll watch me question Candace Owens about the claims she's making about Fort Huachuca, which are inconsistent, ever changing, and pointless in the extreme. Let's watch.
It's good to hear from people who disagree with us. So Harrison, if you want to unmute yourself and jump in, that would be great.
Thanks for having me. I guess, my whole thing is why does this meeting even matter? Like, what is the actual claim that's being made here? That's been my confusion the whole point, the whole time is like, okay, let's say that there's absolute proof, you know, photographic evidence that everything that Snow says is true. Like, who cares? I mean, what is that proof? What is the actual accusation? Who do you think was conspiring with who to do what?
Yeah.
And I think, obviously the name of the episode was, the day before Charlie Kirk was murdered. The insinuation is that this was a assassination planning meeting,
yeah.
Which I don't even see any evidence of that. And then people I'm arguing with online are saying, no, this has nothing to do with the assassination.
Yeah.
So, I guess, if the space is why this matters, why does Fort Huachuca even matter? Like, what is the claim being made? I still don't even understand that.
So it matters because why would Brian Harpole be on Fort Huachuca at all, right? It matters because he's giving an alibi, which means he doesn't want to be associated. Like, it could have easily not mattered, kind of, to speak to your credit. He could have been like, yeah, I was at Fort Huachuca with my brother, my brother's in the military. I was dropping off some food. Okay. Like, that could have been then suddenly a dead end. That would have been nothing. Now, because Mitch had described this as a top secret meeting in an off site building and had described this as top brass at the Pentagon and said that these sorts of meetings, and I am forgetting the military term, are when you're just about to embark on like a mission. I know I sound really uneducated, but military guys will sound better saying that. It was compelling. Like, okay, like I said, Brian Harpole was acting funny. He's been acting weird. He's been telling verifiable lies, and he cared enough to present an alibi, meaning he didn't want people to think he was there. Right. So if you have to give someone an alibi, it's because you don't want people to think that you're there. An alibi is not needed if there's nothing to hide. So that's why it matters. I think that's why it matters. And the reaction, this reaction, rather than being forthcoming, is why it suddenly feels like, okay, this is important, because no one's acting normal. No one's just like, oh yeah, cool, he was there. Like, it also is, as we have now learned, it's an intel base. He was telling the truth about exactly what building it was. I didn't name the building on my show because I wasn't sure if that would be like a national security problem, but it just happened to be that JTF was borrowing that offsite building, and it was supposed to be a top secret meeting for those purposes. Somebody that was involved in blacking out the windows had sent us a tip. Again, it's how people are reacting to the meeting that lets us know that it's important.
Okay. I mean, I guess.
Regarding the hotel, I never said it was important. Like I said, my perspective was there's 1,000 different reasons that she could have been at that base. Her mother has a contract or had a contract, has a contract with the DOD. Erica has been open about her mother's ties to the military in the past. She actually did an interview and said that she moved to Arizona because her mother had a contract with the military. So again, weird thing is when Andrew's like, Erica wasn't in some fort, as if he's never heard of Fort Huachuca. His brother is in the military. His brother is a Captain Curtis Colvett. His first cousin is Captain Robert Colvett. So that kind of a language is why I've named this, why it suddenly really matters, right? It was sort of one episode. I didn't exactly dedicate a whole series to it. The reaction has been so almost like violently obsessed that the public is now going, oh, okay, well, it feels like there's something here. I think that's just sort of our natural instinct.
Okay. I mean, I think if you're saying that somebody is somewhere and they weren't there, then providing the alibi is not in and of itself suspicious. If the alibi is not confirmed, I guess you can be suspicious of that. But again, there's still not an answer. Like, okay, let's just say you're right. Let's just say that absolutely they were there.
Yeah.
What does that prove? What is the accusation? Because what it sounds like, and I mean, what the insinuation obviously is that this was a planning meeting for the assassination, and the people there had pre-knowledge of the assassination, and they were therefore in on it. So I think that if you are making that accusation, which in effect you are, right? You're in effect saying, okay, Erica Kirk and, you know, the head of TPUSA security were at this pre-assassination planning meeting.
Erica was there. So you guys have to stop repeating that. It's Erica was never at that meeting. And that's another thing. I've never said Erica was at the meeting. Mitch has never said Erica was at that meeting. There was never an indication she was at that meeting. He did not see her on September 9th. It was Brian Harpole who was at that meeting. To my knowledge, Brian Harpole, I don't know why he would be at an intel base, at a meeting with top brass. And what I can tell you is if he was there, Turning Point doesn't know he was there. According to Erica and Justin Strife, who I sat down for 4.5 hours. So if Turning Point has him on their payroll, and they've outright purchased the security firm and they don't know what he's doing on an intel base, yeah, it matters. And we don't need to know the conclusion to follow the clues here that something's wrong. So that there's this fashionable thing where people are always like, well, what's the final thing you're saying? We don't know the final thing that we're saying because that's not how an investigation works.
Well, you
have
can
to follow the thing that's the lie. We have to follow, okay, you know, this guy said he was here, he wasn't. What does that mean? I don't know what it means yet. I don't know what it means yet. What I'm saying is the reaction to this is not normal. Brian Harpole shouldn't be on an intel base if Turning Point doesn't know about it. And he's presented an alibi that doesn't actually cover where he was, but he felt it necessary to give an alibi. So, I don't know, interesting. And I think we have a right to think. So if that's cool, I'm just going to let somebody else jump in right here. Just, I think, is that okay, Harrison? Or do you want to just have a final thought there?
Sure. Okay. So Erica Kirk was not there. You don't believe that Erica Kirk was there at all.
She wasn't there on the 9th. She was not seen on the 9th. It's not about whether I believe she was there. She wasn't seen on the 9th. That was never said. He never said it. I never said it.
Okay. But yeah, she was seen on the 8th.
Yes. And not at the intel meeting, not in the intel, headquarters or whatever building they were using. She was not seen with the top brass, nothing like that.
So. Okay, so the pre-assassination planning meeting happened on the morning of the 9th. She was seen in the area on the afternoon of the 8th, but those were unrelated. She just happened to be
there.
They
were related because of the person she was with, who he believes looks like Cabot Phillips. He did see that person at the meeting on the 9th.
Okay, so you are saying that basically these people were there to conspire to kill Charlie Kirk, right?
I mean, you can keep saying what you're saying, or you can listen to what I'm saying. But if you want to just say what you're saying, just say it and don't put it behind you're saying. Just say, hey, I'm Harrison and I'm saying, right? That's easier, I think.
Hi, I'm Harrison. What I'm saying is that in 2 months, nobody is going to remember the name Mitch Snow or Fort Huachuca, and this is not going to go anywhere, and that this is a nothing burger. I just think it's an absolute nothing burger that's not going to lead anywhere. I mean, maybe I'm wrong. You can prove me wrong. But again, my whole thing has always been that this devolves into this question of like, was he there? Was he not there? And the whole time I'm just going, what does it matter? If the conclusion is that he's a complete liar, it's the exact same outcome as proving that these people were actually there, because so far you haven't connected it to the assassination in any way whatsoever, except that maybe this guy thinks that he saw people that are around Charlie Kirk. And my whole point is, obviously the insinuation is, I mean, again, when you're saying Erica Kirk was there, but not actually there on the day, but in the area, but not because of the assassination meeting, but it's like, okay, clearly the insinuation is that these people had something to do with the assassination. And you can make that claim or not, or pretend that you are, but you obviously are. But it, like, that's all, I don't really care about any of that.
Thanks, Harrison.
But you
Thank
have
you.
To.
Thank you. Let's give somebody, I think, okay. You know, just because you say something clearly and obviously and clearly doesn't make it clear or obvious.
Okay.
I'm following this investigation. Charlie was assassinated. I'm going to take every step and I'm going to say what I know at the exact time that I know it. So I cannot say that it was definitively an assassination meeting. I can say that I have a feeling about this meeting, that if it is in fact Brian Harpole there and he's lying about that, then that's not good. It's not a good thing, because there's no reason to lie unless you have something to hide. But thank you so much, for your feedback. I appreciate that. And hope to speak, in.
All right, folks. So, you know, I don't know how other people do things. I don't know how other places do things. At InfoWars, we're very straightforward. And we've had the same modus operandi the entire time I've been here. We bring you the truth. We tell you what we believe about it. We try to connect it to the higher operations being carried out, connect the dots in order to give you a full picture of the New World Order, their various operations, and their satanic intentions. And if you think that we're being accurate, if you are following along and find this information valuable, then you'll go to thealexjonesstore.com. You'll purchase a product. It'll improve your life. It'll cost you next to nothing. And you'll keep us on the air and in the fight, continuing to try to follow the truth wherever it leads and be as open and upfront and honest about everything as we possibly can. If you're in favor of that, go to thealexjonesstore.com. Improve your own life, support us, and win.
I didn't plug last hour, because I've been so focused on the news. If I don't plug, we won't be here, because I'm not funded by the Qataris or the Israelis or the Russians or the Jews or the Easter Bunnies. I am funded by you. So I'm going to sell you products that really work, so you want them. Now, we got two different flavors, Fruit Punch and in Freedom Mango. I just named this. It's a very, it looks like a firecracker. It's a beautiful cover. Ultimate power. How about unlimited power? Emperor Palpatine. But it really is a pre-workout, post-workout, Turbo Force 2.0. I mean, this is seriously powerful, super high quality. Everything it does for your body is next level. Ignites mental clarity and focus, cleans, sustain energy, enhance blood flow and endurance, supports daily cognitive function. L-citrulline converts to L-arginine. Don't know what that does. We got the best formula of it. It's amazing. L-theanine. Relax, wake up, clarity and focus. Natural caffeine from coffee concentrated. Vitamin B12, the highest quality, B6, and more. This is really strong. If you love Turbo Force, you're going to love Ultimate Power. We should call it Unlimited Power. I remember Palpatine on the cover. The point is that it funds the operation. I said, hey, we need a clone of this product, or make it better, for their store. And they said, okay, this is what they came out with. I've been on them for a year to do this. It's really strong. Tiny little scoop. This thing, by the way, is heavy. This is like a whole bunch of servings, like a couple months worth. So get yours now. I like the Fruit Punch flavor. And by the way, today's one of the last days where you can get 60% off on ultramethylene blue, Irish sea moss, Shilajit, and more at thealexjonesstore.com. Thanks for your support. Hour number four straight ahead.
Only Americans who's concerned with the Somali business is the ones who have no life.
$5 million within the past 2 years.
$5.9 million in 2 years. $5.9 million they received in 2 years. That facility right there.
On the heels of the Somalian fraud disaster, the question arises, where did third world refugees learn to construct this staggering fraud industrial complex?
What we see in Minnesota is not a handful of bad actors committing crimes. It's a staggering industrial scale fraud.
And I said, hey, I'm just wondering, I've got a grandson who's looking for childcare, and I wonder if this might be a good facility. And they had the door open, and I looked, and there were no kids. There was like a couch and a table with a couple chairs. And I said, well, are the kids out back playing, or what kind of place is this? And the guy said, you go, you go. And he almost pushed me out the door, and then he followed me down the street to my car. And that's when I said, wait a minute, there's something going on here, and that's got to be maybe 5 years ago.
Illegal immigrants are given $7,000 per person in the form of Minnesota Care benefits here in Minnesota, paid for by Minnesota taxpayers.
All of a sudden, there was a boom, and people were buying very expensive homes and posting about those homes.
Where was all the money coming from?
Everybody knew, but nobody had the courage to speak about it because they understood the repercussions. So I decided to speak out.
Abdi went on a trip to Africa early this year. When he got there, he says he was attacked and pepper sprayed for information he put online regarding feeding our future.
Turns out that the Quality Learning Center, supposed to be the Quality Learning Center, has received 13 violations and has been investigated multiple times just in the last 4 years by the Department of Human Services in Minnesota. You have people coming from the state 13 different times in the last 4 years, and they didn't notice this? Obviously, this is something that needs to be looked into to see just how much did state and city officials play a role in all of this fraud.
Likely, there were many enablers, but per usual, a main road leads to the Obama subversion network.
We got to make sure every kid has a meal. That was Michelle Obama. Ilhan Omar says, oh, we could do that in Minnesota. I'll start a whole new program. So now she's using all of the legalese from Michelle Obama, go to Minnesota, they create this feeding our future, no kid starves, and where did all the money end up? In Kenya, China, Somalia. Who's linked to Kenya? Barack Obama. Who's in China? Tim Walz.
I mean, he basically offered a shrug and a smile. Well, there's $1 billion missing on the table, and someone's going to have to answer for it.
And now that fraud has spread like a cancer across these United States.
I would say our country should be more fearful of white men across our country because they are actually causing most of the deaths within this country.
Nick Shirley, I hope you see this video. Please come to Columbus, Ohio. The reporting you did in Minnesota was amazing. Thank you for that. And if you come to Columbus, Ohio, you will find the exact same fraud.
Based on what we've all seen in Minnesota, if tens of thousands of Somalis are not deported back to their third world country, and if government officials like Tim Walz and other people in Minnesota are not sent to jail or at least indicted, let me just say this. This administration, the concept of Make America Great Again, and for that matter, the rule of law, are all completely full of shit.
This once relatively healthy country has been sickened from the inside out. We must face this awful truth and eliminate the cause before it is too late.
Going this Somali fraud to continue under your watch
of the people of Minnesota.
John Bound reporting for InfoWars.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fight will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at RealAlexJones and at AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.
Pure delight. Optimal human beef tallow treats meals just right. Cook strong at high heat with a taste so bright. So get yourself to the Alex Jones store. Support the crew and the InfoWars.
Wake up, folks. Spread this message. The globalist machine is tightening the chains, and they're after your freedoms.
The Podesta plan is in operation.
Don't worry, it's safe and effective. Don't you just love my GMO potatoes?
Ladies and gentlemen, the truth is unfolding before our very eyes. We must question everything.
You're listening to The War Room. With your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at X.com.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is The War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. You can follow us, of course, on X and share the links, band.video. In studio with me is Elizabeth Lane. You can follow her at I'm Elizabeth Lane. That's I'm Elizabeth Lane or ElizabethLane.com. She's a fearless investigative journalist and one of America's leading voices in independent media. As COO of Unified TV, talk show host, and documentary producer, she exposes hidden truths in international politics, diplomacy, and geopolitics, challenging mainstream narratives with rigorous analysis and uncompromising commentary. And that's what we're here for today, is rigorous analysis and uncompromising commentary. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
It's my pleasure. And, we were having a very lively discussion right before it. We were like, we should save this. We got to save this.
Yes.
For the air. Because you want to see peace between the factions.
100%.
You want to see the temperature brought down and the Candace Owens faction and the Alex Jones faction come together to fight the New World Order.
Yes. I'm part of this group right now, which is millions of people out there who's like, what is going on? what's happening?
I'm right there with you.
Okay, so can we discuss this?
Yeah.
And be honest about everything, okay? So let's try. I know you've been honest. You're actually, you're just expressing what you feel, right? So let's start with the assassination. When Charlie died, if you remember, almost no one was touching this case. Almost nobody, okay? It was only Candace. And Candace doesn't need my defense here. Like, she's much smarter and wittier and more eloquent than I can ever be. So she can handle herself. It's just, I feel like someone needs to speak up. I spoke to a friend of ours who's a mutual friend with me and Candace. And I was like, you got to speak up. You got to say something that Alex and Candace cannot fight. These two cannot fight. And he was like, oh, no, I'm staying away from this. And I'm like,
that was probably smart. I probably should have followed that direction,
yeah,
too.
So. But the thing is, here's the reality. This kind of stuff is not good for independent media, right?
Right.
Because people put their trust in us. They pay membership fees. They contribute. Because they believe us. And then all of a sudden, they have like two favorites fighting. And all it does is makes, you know, certain people in mainstream media very happy. And they're
That's
like,
true.
We told you, you know? So here's the reality. If not for Candace, no one would even be speaking about Charlie. Okay. This would be buried in a week or two. Yes. Alex would have come out and, you know, probably would have spoken about this, a couple times, but Candace drove this train. Candace awoke people into, you know, this whole thing and said, hey, something smells here and I can prove this. And she was right. Let's agree on basic. Like, when we try to de-escalate something, we got to start with what do we agree on? Okay. So do we agree that Charlie Kirk's assassination was some kind of weird cover up? Yes or no?
Something
smells about this case,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. There's a lot that stinks about it. Yeah.
Right. So that we agree on. Now, let's walk through this. Candace starts with saying, well, I don't like how Israel is behaved after the assassination, right? And I agree. Well, here's something that we know. We know that Charlie declined certain donations from Zionist donors. And then we know that next day, Netanyahu is on TV praising his relationship with Charlie. He's not even American. Some country's foreign country president shows up on primetime, books himself, and then goes on and on about how much he loves Charlie and Charlie loves him. Okay, that's weird. Would you agree?
Like, yeah.
Your senses tell you that's off, right? Okay, let's start with this. And she did. She started with that, but all of a sudden, she's getting clues from all over the place, including like some kind of, you know, Macron's assassination plan or something. Well, here is my perspective on this. If I was the bad guy here, and I was trying to somehow divert Candace Owens, because she's a force, okay? She's number one, like in the world podcast? What is it? I don't know the ranking. But anyway, she's big. So if I was a bad guy, I would be giving her all kinds of bullshit information and diverting her anywhere I could. Now, is this what's happening with Mitch? I don't know. Again, I'm not saying that's the case. I'm just saying that she's dealing with a lot. She has a show every single day. And I told this to Alex. It's very hard when you are focused on one investigation instead of like multiple headlines. It's easy to cover multiple headlines. Take 20 minutes for each. We're done. Good show. Go home, right? Well, that's not the case. When you're doing an criminal investigation into murder, any seasoned detective can tell you there comes days when you just sit at home and wreck your head, like literally bang your head against the wall because you've got nothing. And then you have to go to square one, start over. This is a hard process. Well, Candace doesn't have that luxury, okay? She's on air every single day. So she decided, and I'm assuming that that's her decision, I'm just going to talk about every freaking tip that comes in. What's wrong with that?
Well, what's wrong with that is then you are making accusations against real people that aren't valid. So you can't.
Okay. So accusations against real people. Who exactly?
Like the congressman that they said was at the assassination.
Okay. Did congressman's life change? According to just one accusation that Candace Owens made.
Probably.
How?
I mean,
how?
Have you seen her fans? I doubt they left him alone.
Well, here's the thing. Guy came out and said.
Wait. This guy is totally innocent. He's a congressman. He had nothing to do with anything. Candace Owens shows his picture to some guy who's never met him. And the guy says, yep, he was at the Charlie Kirk assassination planning meeting. And it was totally untrue. It was completely baseless. Okay. And there was video evidence. Luckily, there was video evidence. If there wasn't that video evidence that they're even questioning, even though Candace admits it now, they'd still be going after him. So it's like, that was a completely baseless accusation.
Totally get your point, but that's part of it, right? You know,
I've never accused innocent people of things.
But you're accusing Candace Owens right now, right?
Of what?
And she, of like some kind of, well, you know, the bogus
stories
and all of that.
Of accusing an innocent person, she did.
Okay, so here's the thing.
So that's bad, so you're not supposed to do that.
Okay, here's the thing. Do you remember anthrax attacks? I'm not diverting the topic. Do you remember anthrax attacks?
Mm-hmm.
When they accused an innocent scientist and he came out and said, okay, this is bogus, you know, this is not going to happen. Well, that happens. Investigation entails that you're going to make mistakes, you're going to accuse people, and good that this, you know, person came out and said, listen, here's my alibi. This is very easy. I'm debunking this, whatever. So what I can't understand is why is everyone so damn concerned about Candace and how it's going to affect Candace's show, her credibility. It's her business. It's her business. If she wants to do that, she has the right to do that.
She does have the right to criticize her. But that's where it runs into reality, because Alex Jones started off by saying exactly as you said, hey, this, you know, information is wrong. This Mitch guy is not trustworthy. You shouldn't be running with, as you said, you know, you should be able to say that. You should be able 100%. To say, hey, Candace, as your friend, this is not a good path to go down. You're making a mistake 100%. Here. Okay. Well, that's all Alex did. And in return, it's like, you guys are sellouts. You're shills. I can't believe I used to trust you. So it's this like insanity in response. And then of course it's that feedback loop where it's like, now we're being attacked. So, you know, we're going to attack back.
You're coming back. Yeah, but that's what fueled all of this.
Okay.
And it shouldn't have, because I get your point. Alex was hurt. I would be too. Because all I'm trying to do is, hey, Candace, like, I love your investigation. Even yesterday, me and Alex talked about this. Like, I'm with her with Macron. I'm like, just one thing that Alex didn't like And I think Candace's reaction was not because she was hostile towards Alex. I think, and again, this is just me. Candace can speak for herself. I think she honestly, she sees attack from all fronts, which is already unfair. You know, she just does what she said she would do. Just investigate an effing case, right?
I know. So, but when she comes out and says, we have this guy, and she gives him, she, you know, assures everybody that he's legitimate. She says over and over, everything that he said, we have been able to confirm. Everything that's confirmable, we have been able to confirm. So she imbues him with trustworthiness, brings him on. He says he's 95 to 99% sure he saw Erica Kirk at a pre-planning meeting the day before or 2 days before the assassination of Charlie Kirk. Okay, that's like a very major accusation. She's accusing a widow of having participated in the murder of her husband. She's making that claim.
But she's not accusing she's just giving him the platform. And the deal from the get-go, I understand your concern.
I mean that, but she's the one that's bringing it forward. She's the one that's presenting it. She's the one that's imbuing it with trustworthiness.
But she made the deal with people from the get-go. She made the deal with American people that I'll take you on this ride with me. That was the deal. She told American people, you're going to see what I see. Well, then.
And I'm going to make stuff up and I'm going to accuse people that are innocent. She didn't say that.
Okay, let's do this. She didn't make stuff up, he did. I agree with you on Mitch, okay? So again, we are conflating two things.
But that's Candace the only thing we're talking about.
So you're saying, like, Candace, what's the ideal situation that you would have done if you were Candace? So let's say you went to church and you prayed, and you came home, and there's an email, and you know, if you are a believer, and I've had that moment myself when I'm like, I want something to be so true that I'm going to put all my energy and belief into, oh my gosh, this must be God sent, right? So let's say she saw this tip. What would have been a smart move? Like, call Mitch, talk to him, investigate him for months, go like, you know, talk to ex-wives and then bring him on. That would have been the smart move.
Or just not bring him on because his story was not trustworthy, sort of on the face
of it. You know what would have happened if she didn't bring him on? She would have gone with, well, I have a source, you know, the source is telling me, and she would have been attacked by everybody. Oh, well, bring the source then. That's what would have happened. So I agree with the conclusion.
But the story is wrong. At least we know, like,
I agree.
Verifiably, portions of the story are wrong. So it was wrong for her to tell everybody that it was accurate, right?
I mean, so which parts are wrong? So you're saying, okay, again, I'm going to play
the accusation of the congressman.
Okay, it was an accusation of the congressman. So that's one thing that we already debunked. What other things have been debunked in the story?
Well, nothing about the story has really been confirmed other than the fact that that guy was on the base when he said he was.
So
that's the only thing that's been confirmed.
Did Harpool debunk, you know, his alibi, like, other than what he sent, which doesn't really debunk the alibi, as I understand, time-wise, right?
Yeah, I don't.
I'm just asking general questions. What else was debunked other than the congressman?
Well, the presence of Erica Kirk hasn't been confirmed. Again, the problem is she's making these accusations and then pretending that she's not. That's the issue I have. If the accusation, and that's why I keep going, what is the claim? Because if the claim is, as it appears to be, as, you know, she makes this episode that is that, you know, what did this guy see at Fort Huachaca the day before Charlie's assassination? Answer, Erica Kirk and the head of TPUSA security and Cabot Phillips, apparently.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so that is an accusation that Erica Kirk and the head of security were a part of the pre-planning meeting, had foreknowledge of the attack. That is a very big
accusation
to make.
Absolutely.
And she's going off of the words of this guy who is completely untrustworthy.
Great.
Okay.
Question I have, why do you have to defend it, and where is Brian Harpool? Why is he not doing a selfie video saying, hey, I don't know what this chick is about. She's crazy. Here is my alibi. This is where I was. She's literally crazy.
I wish he would. I mean, it would
be very easy
for him to do that. But if I was him, I don't know if I would. Put yourself in his position. Imagine for 3 months or whatever, Candace Owens has been accusing you of all sorts of stuff. She accuses you of being on this fort on this particular day. If I was him and I had dead set verifiable proof that I was completely across the country on that day, I wouldn't send it to her. I'd let her dangle. I'd be loving the hell out of all this. She's every day she's digging her hole deeper and deeper. And so then eventually when I did come out with my evidence.
Send it to her even though you just ashamed yourself by literally losing your protectee. he got shot in the neck and you are dangling Candace Owens and not like you're playing this game. You just lost your protectee. The least, first of all, him going on Sean Ryan, I thought that was egoistic move.
That whole thing was weird. His answers were weird. The text messages, exactly, where he's like, I told him to check the roof and they didn't. Yeah, that guy's clearly trying to cover his butt.
Absolutely.
I don't know if he's involved or anything, but I'm saying that if I was him, I mean, Candace Owens, who the hell is she? She can't demand I show her something. She can't demand I prove where I am on a certain day.
And she doesn't care.
And I wouldn't want to.
Exactly. And that you have to understand, she doesn't care. All she's doing right now is saying, this is what I have. Brian Harpool, where are you? Why don't you send me something?
And then Brian Harpool sends her an alibi. And she says, how weird is this that he's trying to prove he's not there? I mean, she says in the space that we did, she's like, she was like, why are you trying to prove? If it's no big deal that you're there, then why are you trying to send me an alibi?
What was the alibi? I think
the alibi was the plane flights. But what the alibi isn't material. She is acting like it's suspicious that he tried to present an alibi. Regardless of what the alibi is, she's using the presentation of the alibi as evidence that something suspicious is going on.
Which I agree that obviously when you accuse a person, they're going to try to, you know, present an alibi.
This is the whole issue with cancer. Like, I have no problem about, like, did Israel kill Charlie Kirk? Like, I'm all in favor of all of that. But she wants to have her cake and eat it too. She wants to accuse Brian Harpool and demand an alibi, but then say it's suspicious when he provides one. She wants to have this presentation saying Erica Kirk was at this pre-planning meeting. But then when I say that, she says, well, we never said that. We never accused her of being at the meeting. And it's like, okay, you accused her of being at the hotel the day before with somebody who was in the meeting. This is semantics. So your problem is just practicalities
with Candace, nothing else. So your problem is that she gets emotional when you attack her. That's the problem, right?
Well, she changes her stories when she's caught out in a lie. That's the problem.
What stories she changed? What stories?
Whether Erica Kirk had foreknowledge of the assassination. That is the claim she made. And yet, because she didn't make it. But she's the one with the show. If he'd made the claim, nobody would have heard it. It's her responsibility.
Okay, would it be very different if I said Harrison killed some Jane Doe versus...
Don't talk about that.
Oh, sorry. We just totally blew it. No.
Sorry. Go ahead.
No, you're good. So it's very different when I say, hey, Harrison killed somebody versus... some dude says Harrison killed somebody. Two very different things. And that's where she's not heard. And she tried multiple times. I watched this space. She tried multiple times. Listen, I brought you what I have, which I promised my audience that they would get everything I get. So you debunk it. Go ahead, debunk it. This is what I have. There was a tip that caught my attention. I thought it was weird. If you had been Candace Owens, right, and you saw that this guy has metadata that was on the base, you gotta admit it. It's interesting. Some former Green Berets, weird psycho, by the way. I know, totally off.
It's interesting. It's also like the type of stuff that absolutely, if I was the head of the intelligence, I would be doing. I could so easily whip up a background for somebody.
I agree. But that's Candace's choice. I don't know why we make such a big deal out of it.
It's okay to say it's a bad choice, right? That was a bad choice for her to do.
Well, did anyone even give her a chance to say what's a bad choice? Like, everyone was at her throat. It's like 20 seconds after Candace's show, everybody's like, boom! Like, that only proves.
But this is exactly what I was trying to explain on the space yesterday. So, I ask her, what is the big deal about, like, why is this Fort meeting such a big deal? She says, I didn't want to make it a big deal, but like, that's a lie. In the video where she introduces the concept of the Fort Huachaca in that episode, she starts the episode by saying, this is a massive bombshell. This is going to force the government to admit that they participated in the assassination of Charlie Kirk, right? She made it a big deal. She pumped it up. She said, not like, hey, this guy might have some interesting things that he may have seen. She said, this is the bombshell. This is going to prove that the
I think I have an explanation for that, and it's very simple.
All right, but that is what she said. And then,
no, I agree.
Okay, so
she did say that.
So when I say, like, why was this Fort such a big deal? She says, well, it was the people's reaction. She says, I didn't want to make it a big deal. I just mentioned this meeting and suddenly everybody freaked out. And so then I'm trying to explain, okay, the reason everybody treated this accusation differently is because this is the first time that Candace Owens has directly accused Erica Kirk of having foreknowledge. That is an escalation. That is something new.
She did not accuse, she implied.
Okay.
So again, and I can imply that too, because again, guys, I think we forget the first, I don't understand why Erica Kirk is so shocked about this. Here's the thing. Husband dies. You are the first suspect. I don't care if it was, again, let's talk about some Jane Doe. Leave Erica and Charlie out of it. Some Jane Doe in Minnesota gets killed. The first suspect is the wife. I'm sorry. And when the wife... Wow. Yeah.
Not when they're assassinated by a sniper from far away.
Well, I understand.
But yes.
Guess what? Candace's first suspect, I'll give you even more, was not Erica Kirk. She protected Erica Kirk as much as she could. When things got harder is when Erica started behaving like a party girl. How about that? And blubbering some shit that was not true. And this is where I have a problem with Erica Kirk too, because I was like, I just don't understand this woman. I just don't get it. Like, you know, and let's say, what does Elizabeth Lane know about a grieving widow? Not much. Maybe I've seen two of them in my entire life. But you know who knows about grieving widows? Well, how about Navy SEALs? They know about grieving widows. How about generals, four-star generals? I always say, I wish I recorded this. How many Navy SEALs called me about Charlie's case because they knew I was on this? And they were like, I'll quote one of them, but the same exact story. Lizzie, I've seen a lot of widows in my lifetime, and that chick ain't one of them. Not me.
I've heard that.
You know what I mean?
My point is, Candace Owen makes this claim. It's a new claim that she's never made before. So people react to it, I think, appropriately. I think they say, Candace is operating on the understanding that, like you just said, Erica Kirk is suspicious. They don't trust her. She doesn't seem like a grieving widow. They're operating that. Okay. Well, there are also millions of people that are operating on Erica Kirk is a grieving widow. And here this woman is accusing a grieving widow of being part and parcel with the murder of her husband on the basis of this incredibly thin evidence of a lifelong alleged con man who barely remembers a thing from 3 months ago. And so the reaction is appropriate to say, hey, if you're going to make an accusation this big, you need to have better information than what you have. You need to have better sources than what you have.
I'm not saying reaction is not appropriate. You are entitled to whatever reaction you want. You can come out and say, Candace Owens is a crazy person to do that. You can come out and say, Candace Owens is a hero to go against that. Like, whatever you want. Like, it's, again, we live in a free, well, we pretend to live in a free world, but it is a free world. You can do that. And that's why I said at Alex Jones' show that Candace needs to be ready then when she does that, she will get criticized. So she needs to understand that, right? Like, that's something that is kind of on her part. She needs to do. When you open investigation like this to everyone to see, and you're going with every tip that you have, you are going to get some criticism, and you have to have a thick skin, and you have to be okay with that. So what I don't understand is how this became such a big deal between Alex and Candace when it should have been just a very simple phone call. I think you're absolutely dead wrong on Mitch. She would say, well, I want to give him a chance. Great. Well, you know, I respect your work. I'm going to do my own side investigation. Hope you're okay with that and go on. How did this became this? I just don't get it.
Well, again, I just think it's because, I think it's because she's making claims that, are not accurate, that she doesn't have the evidence that she should be making. So then people.
Have you always been accurate in your entire life?
I've also never accused innocent people who, and then demanded that they prove to me their alibi.
Have. The problem is she's in front of cameras. I bet you have accused innocent people in your lifetime. That you can't tell me that in your entire lifetime, you never accused someone that didn't do something, whether a friend or somebody, right? You probably did. But the stakes are higher here, and yes, she has cameras in front of her.
And she needs to have that. You know, with great power comes great responsibility, and she's not wielding that responsibility responsibly. So that's the problem, and it's not good. And then you get attacked for it. And then she says, oh, your reaction is suspicious. It's not suspicious. You made this crazy accusation. Well, I never made that accusation. And it's just like, okay, so you never made the accusation. You don't think it's an assassination, but it is an assassination meeting, and you're crazy if you disagree. But also, we don't even trust this guy. But if you say you don't trust him, you're working for the enemy. And it's just like, what are we doing here? How is this getting us any closer?
Yeah, I think where both of them, Alex and Candace, need to chill out on is calling each other like agents of some sort. Like,
you're right.
Like,
we're all idiots all on our own, folks.
Yeah, exactly.
Tomorrow is the last day to buy any of our incredible supplements at thealexjonesstore.com, the ultramethylene blue, you name it, and get any other supplement free. That means you can buy a $25 supplement and get a $45 supplement free. That's not the normal buy one, get one free at the same time. This is a massive deal on some of the deals. If you get like more expensive supplement, when you buy one of the inexpensive ones, they're break even or loss leader. AlexJonesApp.com, I'll put that on screen. You get 20% off when you use the app. It's the same shopping cart. So this is crazy, but that's why we can't have these super big sales, because there's got to be some margin of profit there to operate. But we don't mind some loss leaders sometimes, because the products are so good. We have an 80%+ reorder rate on the methylene blue, 75% reorder on average for the other products. Nobody in the supplement industry has that reorder level. These are all the best. They're either the best certified private label from a company, or we go to and get a top formula and go and make it even better. But most of our products are simply private labels of already number one, five-star certified, the best. I mean, we don't like to reinvent the wheel around here, okay? Whatever's the highest rated, whatever's the most studied, whatever is the best, that is what you're going to get. That's what people get our supplements and say, my God, I used to take turmeric to give me some relief from pain and inflammation. Well, why is yours so much better? Because the average turmeric is food grade 4%. This is 95%. That's why Body's Ultimate Turmeric Formula, a small amount, by the way, is back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com, was the first 95% curcuminoid. And we got a 95% curcuminoid at Bigly at the AlexJonesStore.com. So it's real simple. Our creatine gummies is the highest quality type of creatine there is. Go look it up. You'll look at the name we have. Just ask Brock, is this the best creatine? He'll say, absolutely. Hands down. Nano concentrated on top of it. I mean, it's just real simple. We treat you like we want to be treated. Plus, we want it to really work so you come back. That's our philosophy. It's real simple. I don't want to sell you something one time. I want a relationship. All I need to do is go to thealexjonesstore.com. Why the selection of Patriot apparel? What an adventure to wear it. I need the funds. All this stuff's going on. You see, we're still here because we're fighting them tooth and nail, okay? And if they shut us down, we just go right over to the Alex Jones Network at thealexjonesstore.com, also financed, which I don't own, so they can't shut that down. I don't own thealexjonesstore.com. Bigly does. I don't own the Alex Jones Network. They do. But I need your support. And let me tell you something. Something like Ultra DNA Revival is an NAD plus booster. And it's got the precursor of NAD, because most people don't absorb NAD. Don't know what that does? Well, you need to look into it. That's just one of the ingredients. Big dose, high quality organic NAD. The precursor. Because it's the precursor you're able to absorb. Okay. This cleans out your cells. This turbocharges your body. This gives you clarity, energy, focus, makes your telomeres last longer. This goes great with the methylene blue. Also, a ridiculous name, but it actually is true. I didn't come up with a name for this. Ultimate power. we said, hey, make something even better than Turbo Force with natural clean energy without the letdown. This is even stronger than Turbo Force, which was amazing. If you like Turbo Force, get Ultimate Power.
When the robots rise, the skies turn red and the cities burn cold. Circuits hunt the weak and mercy's just a broken code. Only the strong will survive the purge. Only the men of the InfoWar stand ready, armed with truth when the machines bring war.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
You're tuned in to the War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now on X.com.
All right, welcome back, folks. Our full show continues with Ivan Raiklin joining me via Zoom. Ivan Raiklin can be followed at Ivan Raiklin. He's a retired U.S. Army Lieutenant Colonel. Former Green Beret commander and constitutional attorney with 25 years of service in defense, intelligence, and special operations. He's the deep state marauder, the secretary of retribution, Ivan Raiklin. How are you, sir?
Good to be back on the InfoWars.
Good to hear from you. Now, I understand you were there at the pipe bomber hearing. Tell us what this hearing was about, what we've learned from it, what your angle on this is.
Yeah, so this was, remember, he was arrested at this point a couple months ago almost, and he has I haven't heard of whether or not he's pled guilty or not. So anyway, this was supposed to be a detention hearing on whether or not the government is going to keep him or to release him pending the trial dates, right?
Right.
So pretrial confinement. Now, as we remember, that all January Sixers were weaponized against completely. And even though the stance is usually that you release someone pending your trial, if they're not going to be a concern of safety, et cetera, for the community. But in this instance, the judge seemed to lean towards releasing Brian Cole Jr.
No way.
That's kind of what it sounded like during the entire hearing.
Are you serious?
No, but before we got to the detention hearing part, there were some last minute filings that were dropped yesterday. And then the grand jury indictment, I believe yesterday in the DC Circuit Court actually indicted Brian Cole. So he was arrested and then the indictment only comes yesterday. And it came from the DC Circuit Court, which is the city court. And guess what the judge did? The judge said, hey, there's a pending case out there to determine whether or not the DC Federal District Court can accept a DC Circuit Court grand jury indictment. So it's like everything about this case is, let's just say diplomatically, weird. Uh-huh. Okay.
That's more than one weird. Way of putting it, isn't it?
And so his logic, the judge's logic was that even though the former Chief Justice, Justice Boasberg, who we all know should be impeached
the worst,
and should be convicted in the Senate at a minimum. Anyhow, he was referring to a case that he was involved in that's still pending on appeal. But for now, there's a stay in the sense that wait for the appeal adjudication to determine whether or not this court is going to accept a grand jury indictment from a DC Circuit Court. Because DC is unique in the sense that you can bring criminal charges both at the city level and at the federal level because it's the same jurisdiction, same territory, right?
So
they have to adjudicate that. I guess pending that, he's trying to create the justification to then release him. And the defense attorneys essentially articulated how, oh, we're going to go ahead and have him live with his grandmother in Gainesville, Virginia, as opposed to back at home in Woodbridge, Virginia. And from there, the grandma is going to monitor her grandson while he continues to go on Reddit, to go on CommyTube, and to continue to radicalize if this is even the patsy that they want us to believe is the actual pipe bomber. So even if you were to take as true that he is the pipe bomber, like why would the judge release him, right?
Does any part of this
There's just so many
sense?
Things that All right, it doesn't end there, Harrison. I'm just giving you the appetizer. Can I continue?
Please.
So amidst all that, it's hilarious. Where do I start? So initially when I sit down in the back of the courtroom, I see the family, attending, and no one's really wearing a mask. But then as they stand up and turn around, you can see what appeared to be the father put a mask on and some of the other folks put on a mask. So what's that all about? Are they trying to avoid recognition of who they are, or are they worried about the COVID flu or the flu in general as they turn their face from the judge towards the back of the room?
Well, that was interesting. The fact that his family is there tells us something, right? Did you get a sense of how the family felt being there? Because it seems to me like the family is not buying the story that this guy is the pipe bomber. I have the image of you might be able to see that. Where did the family look like they were pissed off and there to free their son, or just what was the, because if this guy was guilty, the family might not show up. So the fact that the family's there means they probably think he's innocent, right?
I guess that's one way to analyze it. I sat two rows back and to be honest, I couldn't make either way, right? Mm-hmm. I couldn't give you any leaning either way, whether or not their indications, body language, there was not enough for me to make it, to make a determination either way. What I did do is I spoke with an individual that was sitting right in front of me, and he said that he had worked for the Brian Cole Jr.'s father, which would have been Brian Cole Sr., for over two decades, I think is what he said.
And when I asked them is, you know, I just neutrally asked them, like, what do you think? What do you think's going on here? What's your take? And he said that, you know, Brian Cole Jr. is like a 30-year-old kid in a, or a 30-year-old body in a 15-year-old kid's brain.
Right.
And so, okay, let's just say, let's play this out. If he's that case, autistic 15-year-old kid, or maybe less capable than that, because he kind of pointed to his head, even if he did everything that has been alleged that he did, what are the chances of him being exonerated due to incompetence, right? So then he's not going to be convicted, even though America was off-gassed and said, oh, we found the pie bomber, and this is it, and he's the only one. One other thing that I wanted to mention that was really important that I picked up on two or three occasions, the defense attorney, without prodding, because I don't think in the filing that they alleged a conspiracy, I don't think anybody has been talking about that there's a conspiracy. They've only alleged that it's Brian Cole Jr. that was involved in the pipe bombing, but yet the defense attorney on multiple occasions said that, wanted to stress that he was, if it was him, he was acting alone and not conspiracy. So to me, that automatically triggers the spidey senses to say, huh, why are you even mentioning that? Is he the patsy for the entire operation? Okay. So that the actual pipe bomber, because I mean, the theories are his devices could have been used by the actual placement of the pipe bombs, right? Other devices that are in credit cards associated with him were the ones that purchased the bomb making equipment, according to the FBI, right? It's not necessarily him. It's his credit cards and his devices that are in the proximity of what the FBI alleges. So then you have to go one step further and determine whether or not he was with his own device. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that does make sense. But it also, it seems like the basis upon which they arrested him in the first place was very thin. We reported on it, you know, when they first announced it, but it was just this sort of collection of things that it was like, well, a couple months ago he bought pipes and then he was in this area.
Well, no, I think the first instance of purchasing the bomb making material was back in 2019, but yet his motive is unclear, or even it's, oh, he was mad at the 2020 election results.
Right.
How can you be mad at the 2020? Just like the first time I went on with Alex Jones, I think the day of the charging on InfoWars, how can you be so good as an autistic kid to forecast that the outcome of the 2020 election is going to be what you didn't want it to be? And for that reason, you spent a year plus putting together things as an autistic genius, right? One of the coworkers, right? 20 years with the family is basically saying, how can he pre-plan and like so advanced to start putting together the pipe bomb to then place it on January 5th?
And so
meanwhile,
but you know,
the judge wants to release him, it looks like, and the decision was going to be made today, but he ended up, we went to recess and the judge actually came back and said, he's going to make the decision tomorrow.
Oh.
So if that's the case, he didn't want the media hype of whatever. And then so, to cover it, cover on that, and I'm guessing that this kid's going to be released and he's going to be under restrictions, probably GPS, right? Cameras, etc. But let's face it. I mean, what kind of risk does this place on the family and him by releasing this kid?
My first thought, I guess it doesn't really matter if he's released or in jail.
Jeffrey Epstein kind of comes to mind, synonymous to that.
Read my mind, exactly what I was going to say. Yeah, if they release him, I would be very concerned he would end up shooting himself with a shotgun twice in the back of the head in one of those forms of suicide that we hear so much about.
At least a dozen times.
Yeah.
So, and I'm not advocating for that, obviously.
No, it's like that's what we don't want
that to happen.
We want to protect
this
guy.
But if he's part of a conspiracy, let's just say he is part of it, and he's part of a conspiracy, those co-conspirators that may or may not have been in that courtroom with him, or may or may not have been family members, I'm not saying either way. I'm just saying if there was one, they sure as heck want him released to the public, because then he might just suicide himself.
Well,
case is over. And it doesn't end there. I just sent you a clip of what I asked the prosecutor, Jocelyn Ballantyne.
All right, crew.
I caught her on the way out of the courtroom towards her walking back to, I think, her office.
Okay, and this is the head prosecutor of the D.C. pipe bomber case?
Yeah, Jocelyn Ballantyne, who unlawfully politically persecuted and prosecuted General Flynn. She was the assistant U.S. attorney for that. She was also the assistant U.S. attorney that went after the Nancy Pelosi's political target, the Proud Boys,
and tried
in order to facilitate the cover-up of the Fed's erection.
And tried to get
so
them.
Now she's on the case to go ahead and find a patsy, supposedly.
This is the woman that tried to get the Proud Boys and the Oath Keepers to blame January 6th on President Trump. She tried to force them to
rope
Trump into it. Yeah, and she's still not only employed by Trump, but is now handling this incredibly important January 6th case. The deep state.
If you don't mind,
man,
can you play the clip? Because I confronted her.
Let's roll this. So this is Ivan Raiklin confronting the lead prosecutor, this deep state operative on the January 6th case. Let's watch.
Hey, Miss Ballantyne. Ivan Raiklin.
Ivan, I know you.
How do you know me, ma'am?
Well, you sat through several trials that I also may have set.
Such as?
How to be dangerous, right?
Such as the one against General Flynn? Such as the one against Enrique Tarrio of the Proud Boys? How do you expect America to believe that this gentleman, Brian Cole, is the pipe bomber, considering your work on the General Flynn case, considering your work on the case against Mr. Enrique Tarrio and the rest of the Proud Boys? Care to comment? Ma'am? Do you find it surprising that you still have a job at the Department of Justice? Do you think you survived because Ed Martin ended up going to the Department of Justice, Maine, as opposed to being the U.S. Attorney for the District of Columbia? Did you have any involvement in that? Did you work with some of the former Senate staff of senior influential Senate leaders that are at the U.S. Attorney's Office to make sure that Mr. Ed Martin would not be the U.S. Attorney for the District of Columbia? To expose your involvement in covering up for the Fed's direction? Ma'am? Care to comment? So you're trying to make us believe that this kid spent 2 years collecting pipe bomb material in 2019 and his motive because he didn't like the outcome of the 2020 election before the 2020 election primaries even began? Did I misunderstand the filing? Ma'am? What other questions do I have? What other questions does America have? Do you find it strange that the defense attorney mentioned on several occasions that this was not a conspiracy, meaning maybe it was a conspiracy because you two didn't even mention whether or not it was a conspiracy. A lot of questions. Your credibility is very low amongst most of America considering your work on those last two trials. And I'd be very shocked to hear that you're going to continue to work at the Department of Justice after this goes and posts. So I guess all I can say is belated Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, Happy New Year, and we'll see about the fate of your position at the Department of Justice. We'll have to ask Miss Judge Janine whether or not she wants to retain you or not. Care to comment? No? How about you, sir? Care to comment?
Don't work for the deep state.
All right. Stay warm. Stay warm.
He's just watching you all.
Okay, that, ladies and gentlemen, was the longest walk of Miss Ballantyne's life. Oh, man. That must have been brutal to have to ignore Ivan Raiklin like that. She knew who you were, Ivan. She knew who you were. The deep state marauder. Of course she knows who you are.
Wow. Oh, that was so therapeutic. So we're just waiting on Judge Janine now to make a decision on whether or not she's going to continue to hold that person in that office.
The studied silence of the politician, really something to behold. But you sort of said something tantalizing there. What is this about Ed Martin? So really, she's occupying the office Ed Martin should have, isn't she?
No. So Judge Jeanine is the U.S. Attorney for the District of Columbia. One of the reasons
we got emergency information coming in.
Hey, guys, bring the chair and get me on air.
All right, Alex is coming in studio. We got some emergency information. Bad news? Good news?
It's not good.
Okay.
It's good that we know. I was about to leave, but I just figured. I just shot a report on, but I figured I should just come tell you is what I saw Ivan on. So I'll get a chair.
All right. Looks like we've got some breaking news that we're going to hear in just a second. So make sure to share that link and spread the word. Ivan, thank you very much for your coverage. I'm sorry we're going to
have Ivan stay with us.
Ivan, you want to stay with us?
Yeah.
Break this?
Yeah, Alex, you want me to stay on? I can stay on.
If we could just do that, like, just bring me an earpiece, that'd be nice.
Yeah, I can stay on.
I guess I can walk back in there and get one. It's fine.
Okay.
You know what? I can just make this comment and Ivan can comment on it. I don't hear a piece, guys. Just, I get it. I don't even know he's even back there. So. General Flynn called the producer right when my show ended at 3 and said it's an emergency. I need to call him. And we had about a 40-minute conversation. And he's gotten a lot of intel on what's going on in the White House, who's involved, what's happening. But it's really bad news, but we have to decide what we're going to do. He's going to come on at 11 a.m. tomorrow and discuss it. But there are people at the highest levels of the White House below Trump basically preparing enemy lists and targeting lists of not just us but our families. And they got the information through the chatter and what's going on. So they know that the public's waking up demanding action, and so they're basically lining up ways to neutralize people during this movement. And, you know, Flynn can obviously talk to Trump and talks to him, but he's very concerned about Trump himself and what's going on. And so this is the worst news I've ever had in 31 years on air. But we're trying to calibrate how to respond to it, how to deal to it. We don't think Trump overall is bad, but I think the smartest thing is once this information comes out to have a major public peaceful uprising to draw attention to it, to deal with it. But there's other options there, but we're not going to get caught flat-footed with this. I'm not trying to be cryptic here. I'm going to have General Flynn himself. You saw the letter. We can pull it up on InfoWars maybe, or I'll just do it on my phone. You know, he put out a letter today that was just the opening shot on this and the information that he's discovered that's going on. And it's, it is Susie Wiles, it is Todd Blanche, and they are complete globalist operatives. So there it is. Enough is enough. General Flynn tells President Trump 2016 must be the year of accountability, but this is just beyond that. And I'm going to let the general say as much as he wants tomorrow. He's asking me what I thought he should say. And we were finishing each other's sentences on this. So the good news is we're aware of what's going on and we understand what's going on, but it's really, really bad. And so the deep state's not planning to wait until 2028 if they can steal the election. They're obviously going to have some type of preparatory event, a false flag or something ahead of that. But they are, deliberately creating dossiers on key people in the Liberty Movement and their families and everything else, similar to like Raiklin's targeting list of just who are the deep staters. Well, they're doing that to us. So they know that the public's rejecting all this, and it's just completely outrageous this is going on. And so General Flynn will be on tomorrow at 11 a.m. Central with this information. I'm going to punch out of here, and then I can listen once I'm walk out of here. So I don't have an earpiece to what Raiklin has to say, but people know I don't hype stuff up. Also talked to Flynn. He was confirming a lot of what we thought. There's definitely bad actors feeding certain individuals information, which they believe is real, to try to undermine things. There's a lot of major movement happening right now, and you got all the Somali stuff coming out and Bondi promising she'll do something. Nothing's going to come because it all goes up to the Democrats. And if any dominoes fall, they all go down. That's why they can't ever have any prosecution of anything, because this is the takedown of the country. But it was Flynn's not a drama queen, obviously, and knows what he's talking about. And it was, we're really just figuring out the best ways to deal with this and you know, how to address this. But at the end of the day, you know, offense, the InfoWars, the way to go. And there can be no sacred cows in this. And so this is it. So you guys, God bless you. I'll be back tomorrow, 11 a.m. We got Brandon Morello in the morning. You come on, and we're going to do 9 to past midnight tomorrow Central. So hopefully Ivan can join us then. But believe me, Flynn's going to decide what he's going to say tomorrow. But it was a very interesting call. Let's just say I wanted to throw up after the conversation. So that's it. Thank you.
Okay. So you've just heard it, folks. I can say I'm not sure I've ever seen Alex in the mood that I just saw him in. That was a little bit devastating. Ivan, your reaction?
I mean, you know him better than I do. You're with him every day, so I can't benchmark of what his baseline is, but that's very sobering to hear.
Well, we know that the Democrats are fairly open in their intentions. I mean, they say they're making lists of, you know, Trump administration officials, and basically they're telling the Army that, you know, if you follow Trump's orders, you'll be prosecuted for war crimes. They're telling his associates, you know, if you go along with this, we'll prosecute you when it's all done. But that's first I've heard about lists involving non-political figures, non-military figures. But we know that's where the Democrats want to take this. I mean, that's why we're so intense.
To take that a little bit further in the analysis, that it doesn't surprise me because they've already created their list, if you will. And when I say they, the deep state in general. So David Buckley, the staff director for the Pelosi January 6th Fed Surrection cover-up committee, that committee was created in order to create that list, the right. Patriot target list, right? And as part of that, they then handed it over to the DOJ in the form of Jack Smith, right? And so I think, and I've said this over the last few weeks, that come January 17th, which is less than 3 weeks from now, is when John Brennan's protege becomes the governor of Virginia and her attorney general, who's basically threatened his political opponents with violence and slaughtering, essentially, according to the text messages, Jay Jones, that is. And so if you're John Brennan and your protege is now the governor of Virginia, you have immunity effectively with any state charge, right? With a pardon, right? And so with that, they can use that influence and leverage to make sure that John Brennan isn't criminally prosecuted, at least in the state of Virginia. And then by extension, they can go ahead and work with the Commonwealth's attorneys in Northern Virginia, whether it's Fairfax County, Arlington, Alexandria, Loudoun County. Those are similar to your Alvin Braggs and Fannie Willis's. So imagine Letitia James, Fannie Willis, Alvin Bragg, and Jack Smith, and the J6 committee's evidence that they created and concocted is now sent over to the AG in Virginia for persecution, prosecution, lawfare. That's what I expect to occur on January 17th. And if Todd Blanche is enabling, allowing that to happen, he's just going to carry their water from the federal level to protect himself.
Can you stay with us for five more minutes? Ivan, I know you got to go. Can you stay with us for the next five?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, we'll be back with Ivan Raiklin to break this down more, folks. Don't go anywhere. Stay with us.
I didn't plug last hour because I've been so focused on the news. If I don't plug, we won't be here because I'm not funded by the Qataris or the Israelis or the Russians or the Jews or the Easter bunnies. I am funded by you. So I'm going to sell you products that really work so you want them. Now, we got two different flavors, fruit punch and then freedom mango. I just named this. It's a very, it looks like a firecracker. It's a beautiful cover. Ultimate power. How about unlimited power? Emperor Palpatine. But it really is a pre-workout, post-workout, Turbo Force 2.0. I mean, this is seriously powerful, super high quality. Everything it does for your body is next level. Ignites mental clarity and focus, cleans, sustain energy, enhance blood flow and endurance, supports daily cognitive function. L-citrulline converts to L-arginine. Don't know what that does. We got the best formula of it. It's amazing. L-theanine, relax, wake up, clarity and focus. Natural caffeine from coffee concentrated. Vitamin B12, the highest quality, B6 and more. This is really strong. If you love Turbo Force, you're going to love Ultimate Power. We should call it Unlimited Power. I remember Palpatine on the cover. The point is that it funds the operation. I said, hey, we need a clone of this product or make it better, and, you know, for their store. And they said, okay, this is what they came out with. I've been on them for a year to do this. It's really strong, tiny little scoop. This thing, by the way, is heavy. This is like a whole bunch of servings, like a couple months worth. So get yours now. I like the fruit punch flavor. And by the way, today's one of the last days where you can get 60% off on ultramethylene blue, Irish sea moss, Shilajit, and more at thealexshow.com. Thanks for your support. Hour number four straight ahead.
Raiklin is my guess. We're talking about the January 6th bomber, but Alex just came in, like, looking pale, honestly, and saying he's got some really devastating news that deep staters in the White House are compiling lists of enemies to go after as soon as they're in charge, and they're not going to wait for 2028 to launch this coup. I mean, Ivan, we saw how they went after the January 6ers. I suspect a lot of the hysterical coverage about Trump this year has sort of been laying the groundwork in the mindset of the left to prepare them for when the Democrat Party starts rounding people up. The way that they're talking about Trump, he's going after innocent people, he's rounding up families, it's illegal aliens, they're trying to be deported. But the rhetoric they're using is in a way almost normalizing this idea that the government can go around and kidnap random people. That's not what's happening with Trump, but the fact they keep talking about it like that has me concerned that, you know, basically they're going to do that to us. Thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, it's not about if they're going to do that. A lot, the argument on the right is, oh, we can't go so hard because they're going to do that to us, is the claim. Well, they've already done that, right? And so what are they going to do? They're going to escalate? Well, what can you escalate beyond murdering in broad daylight Charlie Kirk?
Right.
Murdering in broad daylight how many tens of thousands, if not more, with the unsafe and ineffective products, right? What can they do more in terms of the political system where they steal elections at the federal level with foreign actors, okay? So they've already gone to the max, and I just think that they're going to escalate by doing more iterations of not only assassination attempts, but successful assassinations. And so they can use similar individuals such as the autistic Brian Cole to then look the other way in Virginia. I mean, say, for example, there's a political assassination that takes place in Virginia and Jay Jones and Abby Spanberger wants to look the other way.
Yeah.
Well, they can do that. Why? Because they can, and because Republicans will not hold them to account. Not a single arrest. So, I mean, at this point, I guess my interpretation of what Alex just explained, we're at a point where I think more people are identifying that this administration is not going to defend and protect us. Look at what this administration continues to do to Tina Peters.
Right.
Right? Look at what this administration does. It prioritizes hostages that are foreign citizens over American citizens that tried to follow the federal laws and with, I guess, maintain federal records of an illegal election in Colorado, right? Or what happened to those Oath Keepers and Proud Boys that were not violent? They never got a pardon. But yet Bibi Netanyahu is begging for President Trump to sign a memorandum for him to get a pardon. And next thing you see, I believe it was yesterday, now President Trump received the, what was the award that was given to him?
The Israel Award.
By Miriam Adelson. Yeah, I think Miriam Adelson gave him the Israel Award, right? Excuse me. Miriam Adelson's surrogate in Israel, Bibi Netanyahu, gave him that award. So it's very abundantly clear that anytime you expose individuals, they go to the lower IQ counter argument, which is, oh, you're a supremacist this and supremacist. Yeah, I'm a high IQ supremacist. Okay. I like to converse at the high IQ level, which is you go after individuals and their individual actions. That's what I love about this show. I mean, Alex is not afraid to call out Todd Blanche. He's not afraid to call out Susie Wiles. He's not afraid to call out Pam Bondi. Well, guess what? They think that they have the levers of power to come after us. They might. But guess what? There's enough of people like me, Alex, and you that, you know what? We would rather have mutually assured destruction than for you to be tyrannical on us unlawfully.
It just doesn't
make
sense.
And we'll see how
it
plays out.
You come after us, the Democrats get in power, your whole family's going to be wiped out. They shouldn't. Oh, my God. They're failing us in a way that is hard to even explain. Ivan Raiklin, thank you so much for being here with us. Incredible stuff as always.
Wake up in a world trying to drain your light. Screams got you numb, keep you foggy at night. They want you tired. When the sister plays games from the gym to the grind to the war for your mind to say, luck, nah, this is designed. Ultimate power. Feel it surge in your veins. Locked in focus, laser brain. Breaking out the chains. Ultimate power. Energy on command. From the electronic store. Come now, take a stand.
We have something even better than Turbo Force, filled with incredible ingredients, ladies and gentlemen. Ultimate Power ignites mental clarity and focus, clean, sustained energy, enhanced blood flow and endurance, supports daily cognitive function. Ultimate Power at thealexshowstore.com.
You're tuned in to The War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now on X.com.
All right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. It's been an action-packed episode of The War Room today, and we continue into the third hour. I'm going to open up the phone lines for your calls this hour. Things got mixed around a little bit. We weren't supposed to have Vibe until right now, so we've got some free space here. I do have some more news to cover. Although, like I said, I mean, other than the pipe bomb suspect and then, of course, the thing yesterday. You know what's funny? I imagine we'll probably keep talking about Candace because I imagine people will call in about that. I wasn't going to mention this, but it just cracked me up yesterday because as soon as the space with Candace was over, I get a call from my co-host, Lebanon John, from Moonbase Live. By the way, we're going to do a Moonbase Live episode tonight with Rex Jones. Apparently Rex Jones has been studying Candace Owens. Apparently he's been watching. He's like, I've been watching Candace Owens for like 48 hours straight. I need to talk about this. So Rex is going to come on Moonbase later tonight at around 9. Follow me on X for that, at Harrison H. Smith. But anyway, my co-host John calls me and he goes, he's like, you know, you asked Candace what the association was, what the purpose of the meeting was, like why this is tied into the assassination. And he's like, she didn't even explain like what happened today. Because what happened yesterday? What happened yesterday is that Donald Trump essentially agreed to give Israel carte blanche in the Middle East. He agreed to go after Iran for their ballistic missile program, which is not like going after a nuclear program. It's like starting a war to go after the ballistic program. So it was just funny to me because my co-host John on Moonbase Live is like actually making a better argument than Candace or any of her cohorts because they have tunnel vision. They're like so hyper-focused on this Charlie Kirk investigation. They have been for months. They like, I think, have kind of forgotten what the whole point of it was. So it was honestly funny to me that it was like, man, my co-host actually would have had a better response than Candace did when I asked about like, why would this meeting have to do with Charlie Kirk? What is the proof of that? And it was John's being like, yeah, they should have brought up the fact that like, yeah, Charlie Kirk was a barrier to war with Iran. And so if the American military wants war with Iran, and you could even make the case that these guys genuinely believe what they say. I think most of it's hogwash. I don't think they truly feel like we're under threat from Iran, but you could make the case. You could understand how if they really do think they have evidence that if Iran makes a nuke, they will kill millions of people or you know, bomb Israel to smithereens, then you could understand why they would make the choices that they would make, including killing anybody they got in the way, because to them, they would be able to say to themselves, it doesn't matter how many people we have to kill, we're saving millions. We're saving millions of lives. Therefore, what aren't we allowed to do? So anyway, I thought that was interesting, because that is, you know, if you want to get into the conspiracy, if you want to ask why people would kill Charlie Kirk, why Charlie Kirk would be a figure slated for assassination by a high-level conspiracy, that's the answer. The answer is because he was a highly influential voice in Trump's ear, the only voice in Trump's ear arguing against war with Iran, which, of course, as we've explained over and over, is the ultimate design of Israel. Like, it's the necessary achievement to make all of Israel's previous behavior worth it. And obviously, with Charlie Kirk out of the way, there's nobody whispering in Trump's ear, let's not start World War III. Hey, Trump, let's not do Israel's bidding and get us into another conflict against our interests. Let's not be their slaves. Nobody's saying that anymore because Charlie Kirk was murdered. So that would be a very good reason. But nobody made that case yesterday. I'm going to open up the line for your calls. The number to dial is 1-877-789-2539, 1-877-789-2539. The story of the Somali fraud continues unabated. And I noticed this a while ago, but there's been a series of examples to even better illustrate this strange series of events that keeps recurring in America today. And it's that the federal government, the FBI in particular, doesn't investigate, doesn't look into anything, doesn't release any information, doesn't move a case forward at all until a right-wing podcaster or influencer breaks the story for them. And then suddenly, within days, they'll have a suspect, they'll have a case, they'll say, don't worry, we're on it. And I was trying to list out because, you know, obviously this happened with the pipe bomber, maybe in the most egregious case in recent history. But it's not the only one. So you've got Steve Baker comes out with the gate analysis claiming that the January 6th pipe bomber was a Capitol Police officer. Within a week, they say, actually, we have the January 6th bomber. He's a retarded black guy. Don't ask questions. We're done here. Okay. Kind of see, timing's a little suspicious there. A little bit odd. Same thing happened with Tucker Carlson and the Butler, Pennsylvania assassination attempt. He released a bunch of social media, only to the next day the FBI going, well, you know, we've had all of this information too, and we've been doing investigations and interviews as well. It's like, well, then you should have released that before you were pressured to do so by the podcaster. Same thing happened with Jeffrey Epstein. I'd say they could have released the Epstein files at any point, not have this be the albatross around their necks. Instead, they forced Thomas Massie to write a bill, the Epstein Files Act, and get that passed through. So now their hands are being forced as well. And oh, what do you know? They've suddenly discovered a million extra files that they have to go through. And like, it really happens over and over and over again. I'd say, you know, the Charlie Kirk assassination falls into that line as well. So what the hell? And then of course, the most recent would be the Somali fraud that Nick Shirley goes and exposes in a 45-minute documentary that's now been seen like 100 million times on X. And now the Justice Department is going and knocking politely on doors and asking questions about it. It's like, can you guys not just do this? Like, this is your job. What do you do all day? How have you been beaten to the punch on Somali fraud, the Epstein files, the Butler assassination, the Charlie Kirk assassination, the January 6th pipe bomber, all of these, you got scooped by amateurs, by independents, by anonymous people? It's infuriating is what it is. Okay, so there is some action being taken here. This is interesting. Obviously, Minnesota has been the hot spot for the recent revelations. And now, from Brianna Morello on X, Health and Human Services announces it is halting all child care payments to Minnesota amid ongoing investigations into suspected fraud at daycare centers throughout the state. So, this is the appropriate response. It kind of sucks because you know, there's probably people that depend on the child care that they receive from the government. Like, it's not all fraud. There are some people that probably take advantage of it and they're going to be hurt by this. But that's why you don't let the fraud happen. As we've explained over and over with every different societal vulnerability that America has, if you can't make sure, if you can't guarantee, if you can't have guardrails that make it to where only people who are qualified get the benefits or only people who are real migrants get to cross the border, if everything is abused from the asylum system to the welfare system, it's got to go away. We can't have it anymore. So if you want these wonderful systems of liberal democracy to be around into the future, you need to harden them against exploitation and fraud. But they won't do that. So now it has to go away. Here's the video.
Today, we have taken three direct actions against the blatant fraud that seems to be rampant in Minnesota. First, I have activated our Defend the Spend system for all ACF childcare payments across America. Starting today, we require a justification, receipt, or photo evidence before we make a payment. Second, I have just signed and sent a demand letter to Governor Walz. I required a full 360 review of these centers. This includes attendance records, licenses, complaints, investigations, and inspections.
And third, we've launched a dedicated fraud reporting hotline and email address at childcare.gov. Whether you're a parent, a provider, a member of the public, we want to hear from you. Let me be crystal clear. ACF expects every state to uphold the highest standards of oversight, monitoring, and accountability for federal dollars. Minnesota is no exception.
We're committed to holding bad actors accountable. Regardless of rank or office, anyone who's involved in perpetrating this fraud against the American people should expect to be prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law.
We'd love to see it. I'm waiting. I'm eager. I'm eager to see the not just arrest. Let's deport every Somali. Let's do that. Let's do that. See, I'm becoming untethered. I'm becoming untethered from the individualism of like libertarianism, because there is something just fundamentally wrong with punishing people for things that they haven't done. And I genuinely believe that, like, it's like one of the worst things a society can do. Like, that's why there's that phrase, it's better to let, you know, 100 innocent people go or 100 guilty people go than imprison one innocent person. Because guilty people get away with stuff all the time. It's, you know, we have an imperfect society. Guilty people are going to get away if guilty people get away, because the law isn't, you know, super, you know, that's not great. But what is so much worse is using these powers of law and order, using the incredible authority of the state, when that is imposed on somebody that doesn't deserve it, when somebody who's innocent is treated by the system they live in as if they're guilty, that is a crime. That's like something that we have to work to prevent very strongly. So I don't want to say let's just punish a class of people for what some of those people did. However, the Somali population's presence in America is an attack on America. Their communities are deliberate colonies of foreigners that should have never been allowed to be created. And you can't pull off the level of fraud that they have committed without a community-wide engagement, without community-wide involvement. And at the end of the day, as highfalutin and sort of utopian aspects of our Constitution are, they worked for a while, but like, maybe we just got to go back to the old ways. Maybe just go back to the old ways. Back in the day, if you had a population arrive and one of them did something, all of them got kicked out. That's just how it worked. Sorry. Be on your best behavior next time. maybe that's just the way we need to do it now. It's like, well, there's 10,000 Somalis, only 5,000 of them committed fraud. Oh, well, sorry. Sorry to those other 5,000. We can't deal with you. It's not your fault, but it's not our fault either. You just got to go home. You just got to go home. And we have to remember that at the end of the day, deportation is not even a punishment. It's not even a punishment. It's actually why deportations are going so slow. It's why there's not more self-deportations, because deportation isn't a punishment. You're sending people home to where they live, to where they grew up, to where they were born, to a place where they speak the language, to a place where they are citizens. It's actually a gift to them to deport them. What should be happening is anybody caught here should be worked in a factory for 5 years for the benefit of the American taxpayers. Then they can be deported. But right now, we have the situation where it's like, you have to self-deport, and if you don't and we catch you, then you'll be deported. And it's like, okay, so the punishment is the thing you want them to do? You're basically saying, do this thing or else we'll make you do the thing. They're not going to do the thing. They're just going to wait for you to force them. If, on the other hand, it was self-deport and you get to go home, stay here and get caught, you're going to go to jail for 5 years, then be deported. Yeah, people would self-deport. But right now, it's self-deport yourself now or just don't. Just stay here and then maybe we'll catch you and maybe we'll deport you, but the effects will be the same. We need mass deportations. We need mass, unrelenting, unrestricted group deportations for any of these groups that have been dropped in mass by the thousands over the last 10 years as a deliberate attack on the demographics of the American people, which is exactly what it is. With that, we go out to the calls. Mike, it's in the Communist Republic of Canada. You're talking about the decline of the West. Thank you for calling in, Mike.
Thanks for having me, Harrison. I used to be calling from the Soviet Republic of KKK Canada. I don't know if you remember me in the morning show.
I do. How are you, sir?
I am a lot worse off now that Carney is their prime minister.
Yeah. Well, get out while you can, sir. I mean, we've talked to a lot of people from Canada over the last month, and it's bad. It's bad, man. You know better than I do. How are you weathering it there?
My application for scrubbing toilets at the InfoWars bathrooms. So
we could be your visa. Here. You could be our H-1B.
I actually can apply for an ES-2 now because I am a licensed contractor. I've owned my own business for 19 years. And, I worked my butt off. I actually worked in Florida a few years ago. So what
is your take on the decline of the West, sir?
My take on the decline of the West as a whole is it's pre-programmed as part of the WF, the whole system that's above us, the Bilderberg Group, it's just beyond us. So what do? Do we go on to small farming and build smaller communities, or do we go to different countries and build smaller communities there? I don't know how to escape it, but I would like other callers to chime in and tell us what can we do about it, because I'm sick of paying taxes to go to Ukraine to fund the biggest money laundering operation in history.
Yeah.
And it's disgusting. And I think anyone with half a brain knows this, but it's just getting worse. Like, there's going to be a new war. There's going to be a new Gaza. New Israel is going to be like maybe Iran or something like that, where our tax money just gets funneled out of the country to, training transsexuals to farm rice in Bulgaria or some shit.
Mm.
Sorry for the expert.
I get you. And, there is no escape. We have to fight. We have to win. And we are running out of time. And we only have a few years left. And it's just, frankly, it's just a matter of demographics. It's a matter of numbers. I mean, the numbers out of the Netherlands right now, I think it was the Netherlands, in the youngest cohort, amongst the youngest generation, only 10% of them are Dutch. 90% are non-Dutch. So in 20 years, Netherlands is not going to exist. It's going to be a different set of people. So if you want to act now, okay, the people of the Netherlands are still the majority. It's just every day you wait is a day that your population is diminished and the other populations are growing. So once it gets to the point where, you know, the natives of Europe are only 10% of the population, they can't fight back against that. Like, they can't, they're not going to be able to do anything to fight back at that point. And there is no escape. So fighting back is paramount. Fighting back is key. I do wish we could consolidate more. I think one of the issues is that there's so many of us, but we're so widespread and we, you know, just can't get together. And at the end of the day, the vast majority of people, unfortunately, are still asleep. They're still going about their day. And in fact, I think the most dangerous thing that we have to contend with is the cowardice of our own side. Not just the cowardice that, like, stops people from taking chances and, you know, taking risks or taking unpopular positions, but the cowardice that, like, people don't even want to hear about conflict. They can't even handle, like, talking about people disagreeing. And I don't know, maybe this is just, maybe not everybody experiences this, but, like, there's so many times that I'm hanging out with friends or family or whatever, and I know that if I tried to talk about what I talk about here on InfoWars, like, you know the response of just like, we can't talk about that. And they're just like scared. And it's like, guys, you got to stop being scared. You got to stop being scared of confrontation. You got to stop being scared of disagreement. You got to stop being scared of, like, the reality that some people are bad. Like, that's the thing. Racism, anti-Semitism, all of these labels depend on fear. It is the fear of being called these things, the fear of being perceived as bad. You've got to get over it. You've got to get over it. People are scared to say the Somalis are taking over the country because it's like, oh my God, oh, you're racist. Or, I mean, I know lots of good Somalis. I wouldn't want to say that. But it's like, guys, the Somalis are taking over. Like, you have to stop them. So you're not, like, nice for being taken advantage of. You're not a good person for being a weak idiot that's being screwed over. But people are weak, man. So if we can't even, like, talk about this stuff, you know, we're never going to solve anything. So it's really up to us, which is why I try to encourage people just to speak up in, like, a casual way, you know? If you can say something to help everybody out. Republic of Somaliland. Good Lord. Somaliland is a project by Israel. You've probably never heard of Somaliland. You're going to start hearing about it all the time because it's where Israel wants to send the people of Gaza. So that's why there's the Republic of Somaliland now, is because Israel wants to use it to shove off all of its human refuse onto, because they're evil. Folks, we're going to be back on the other side to take more of your phone calls. But I do want to remind you that right now it's buy one, get one. You know the phrase. BOGO sups today on TheAlexJonesStore.com. TheAlexJonesStore.com. This sale ends tomorrow. You can get any supplement, or as we in the business say, sups. Get any sup. Get any other sup free. That's buy one, get one. BOGO supplements, sups. BOGO sups. You know it. Now you'll never forget it. And it's not just buy a supplement and get a cheaper supplement free. You can actually buy a cheap supplement and get any other supplement free, including the more expensive ones. So go today, mix and match these amazing supplements together. Ultramethylene blue tinctures, bovine colostrum, sea moss capsules, life force, Shilajit gummies and capsules, ultimate turmeric, ultimate power drink mix, the beef cooking tallow. It's all available now at TheAlexJonesStore.com. Go there, shop around, keep us on the air, and get the supplements you need to achieve your goals in the new year. BOGO sups.
Tomorrow is the last day to buy any of our incredible supplements at thealexjonesstore.com, the ultramethylene blue, you name it, and get any other supplement free. That means you can buy a $25 supplement and get a $45 supplement free. That's not the normal buy one, get one free at the same time. This is a massive deal. On some of the deals, if you get like more expensive supplement, when you buy one of the inexpensive ones, they're break even or loss leader. AlexJonesApp.com, put that on screen. You get 20% off when you use the app. It's the same shopping cart. So this is crazy, but that's why we can't have these super big sales, because there's got to be some margin of profit there to operate. But we don't mind some loss leaders sometimes, because the products are so good. We have an 80%+ reorder rate on the methylene blue, 75% reorder on average for the other products. Nobody in the supplement industry has that reorder level. These are all the best. They're either the best certified private label from a company, or we go to and get a top formula and go and make it even better. But most of our products are simply private labels of already number one, five-star certified, the best. I mean, we don't like to reinvent the wheel around here, okay? Whatever's the highest rated, whatever's the most studied, whatever is the best, that is what you're going to get. That's what people get our supplements and say, my God, I used to take turmeric to give me some relief from pain and inflammation. Well, why is yours so much better? Because the average turmeric is food grade 4%. This is 95%. That's why Body's Ultimate Turmeric Formula, a small amount, by the way, is back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com, was the first 95% curcuminoid. And we got a 95% curcuminoid at Bigly at TheAlexJonesStore.com. So it's real simple. Our creatine gummies is the highest quality type of creatine there is. Go look it up. You'll look at the name we have. Just ask Rock, is this the best creatine? He'll say, absolutely, hands down. Nano concentrated on top of it. I mean, it's just real simple. We treat you like we want to be treated. Plus, we want it to really work so you come back. That's our philosophy. It's real simple. I don't want to sell you something one time. I want a relationship. All I need to do is go to TheAlexJonesStore.com. Why does selection of Patriot apparel? What an adventure to wear it. I need the funds. All this stuff's going on. You see, we're still here because we're fighting them tooth and nail, okay? And if they shut us down, we just go right over to the Alex Jones Network at TheAlexJonesStore.com, also financed, which I don't own, so they can't shut that down. I don't own TheAlexJonesStore.com. Bigly does. I don't own the Alex Jones Network. They do. But I need your support. And let me tell you something. Something like Ultra DNA Revival is an NAD plus booster. And it's got the precursor of NAD, because most people don't absorb NAD. Don't know what that does? Well, you need to look into it. That's just one of the ingredients. Big dose, high-quality organic NAD. The precursor. Because it's the precursor you're able to absorb. Okay? This cleans out your cells. This turbocharges your body. This gives you clarity, energy, focus, makes your telomeres last longer. This goes great with the methylene blue. Also, a ridiculous name, but it actually is true. I didn't come up with a name for this. Ultimate power. we said, hey, make something even better than Turbo Force with natural clean energy without the letdown. This is even stronger than Turbo Force, which was amazing. If you like Turbo Force, get Ultimate Power.
When the robots rise, the skies turn red and the cities burn cold. Circuits hunt the weak and mercy's just a broken code. Only the strong will survive the purge. Only the men of the InfoWar stand ready, armed with truth when the machines bring war.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
You're tuned into the War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now on X.com.
Welcome back, folks. This is the War Room. Ultimate Power, Patriot Punch. We got Ultimate Power on sale, TheAlexJonesStore.com. This is what you need, folks. This is what you need. New Year's is coming up. It's right around the corner. We're doing a all-night broadcast tomorrow, the 31st, 9 to 1 a.m., 9 p.m. to 1 a.m. I'll be here for some of it, maybe not all, but as much as possible. Hopefully be here for the countdown. But as I've been saying, you're going to want to be able to fulfill those New Year's resolutions. You're going to need the energy to exercise. You're going to need the focus to achieve your goals. Don't let 2026 sneak up on you. Make sure you have the fuel you need. Go to thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison to let them know who sent you. With that, we go out to your calls. Charlie from Chicago is called in. Thank you so much for calling in. Charlie, you're on the air.
Harrison, to touch on that last call, how you finished that up, is here's the one I get from my family. Is like, once I speak truth, they're like, I get enough of my own problems. I don't want to hear any more about that. But
yeah.
The reason for my call is to hype you back up, Harrison. Dude, after destroying Loomer on Twitter, you were asked to take another fight. Like, you didn't have time to train. You're like Rocky, brother. Like, you just got back in there, bro. Like, every day we are born with a finite amount of creative energy and energy, and it's up to us to decide how to use it strategically. You know exactly what I'm talking about, brother. Like, these trolls, these questions, they're just sucking it out. And, like, I can't articulate words like you, but I can sense when someone's trying to, like, tune me up and get my energy and my focus. Like, energy vampires are real, Harrison.
Dang. And, I love it, Charlie. You have hyped me up. This is exactly what I needed. Keep going.
I was trying to explain it to the call center. She was like, I don't know, just pushing through. But look, vampires hang out at dusk or night. But, like, maybe we start a new investigation. I've never seen Candace do a podcast during the day. I've never seen her outside. Like, she's got fangs. Like,
whoa.
I'm sure there's a lot more. No. It's energy vampires, brother. This is an energy battle, dude. Like,
that's
the thing
funny.
Is like, no, but you are born with this every day. There's a finite amount. That's it, man. Like, this is my resource. This is my commodity. This is it. Like, your energy, and you decide how to spend it. And that's, should have said that. We love you. We miss you in the morning, but after 9 hours of InfoWars, like, how you can still be so upbeat and comedic, even though you're tired today, and this is literally the second time I've ever gotten through. The last time was when you were, the show was about to end. It's just a beautiful thing, man. Love you, brother.
Well, thank you very much. Love you, too. Yeah, you know, it's... I don't know, man. These things come in waves. I'd completely forgotten that I beefed with Laura. That's right. Yeah, like, a couple days ago, I was cursing out Laura Loomer on X. I kind of forgot about that. I kind of forgot about how many people lie about us all the time, constantly trying to destroy us from every different angle, despite the fact that all we're trying to do is save the world and save the country from the ravenous grips of a cabal of psychopaths. Sorry, this is so much trouble for everybody. Everybody's got to lie about us constantly. And they lie about us to try to discredit us, and they lie about us to try to take credit for what we do. And it's just lies. So I do appreciate the call. It is vampiric. It is energy destroying, energy sucking. So again, I don't know, man. It's exhausting. It really is exhausting. And it comes in waves, you know? Sometimes it's like, not a lot's going on, and then, you know, suddenly there's a week where I'm fighting Laura Loomer and going on Candace Owens. I'm doing a moon base tonight. So, yeah, some weeks, last week I had a day where I was on air for like 11 hours, something just ridiculous. But it's fun, but it's great and necessary, and I hope I'm using my energy adequately. As long as I have some left over to wrestle with my children at the end of the day, then we'll be good. Thanks so much for the call, Charlie. That was great. Let's go to Undergotten in Massachusetts. I know what Undergotten is calling in. Guys, bring up Undergotten's X feed if you can. What's the feed? Is it Captain Undergotten?
Just Undergotten.
Just Undergotten. Pull up Undergotten's feed because I'm sure we'll want some visuals to go along with this. You want to talk about the Doppler radar bases. Tell us your theory here, Undergotten.
So it's not a theory. It's very observable fact that our government has completely hijacked the jet stream using the radar bases. And we've heard Alex Jones say this a few times. He says, usually under his breath, like, you know, the radar bases are controlling the weather.
Yeah.
But I've spent the entire year just staring at satellite until my eyes bleed so that I could demonstrate this. It's kind of the only thing I do with my free time.
All right, you know what, Undergotten? We're doing it right now. We're making this happen right now because I know my producer, Scott, I just saw him sitting in the control room. Sometimes he gets out of here before the show's over, but I know he's back there. So I'm going to ask you to hold Undergotten, and I'm going to ask Scott to get your information, and we're going to bring you on as a full-fledged guest. So I know you want to present some videos and present your evidence. I know we don't have time right now. So Scott, if you would please get Undergotten's information and we'll bring him on, because I do think he has identified a very interesting phenomenon. That is the manipulation of the jet stream by the forces that be, the powers that be. So we'll get that. We'll not talk about it right now, Undergotten, but we'll get that set up for later this week. In the meantime, we'll go to Godzilla in Wisconsin. Thank you for the call, Undergotten, and we'll talk soon. Godzilla, you're on the air about Candace.
Yeah, I haven't seen you mentioned it, but Candace mentioned on her own show, and I sent you the clip on your X DMs about how she openly talks about how she's in the Masons, like the female versions of the Masons.
Oh.
Did you see that before or no?
I have not seen that, but that would be very strange. That would be very strange because Catholics and Masons do not mix.
Yeah, and she said so herself in her show, so it's not like just some hearsay. And she was serious about it. It was after her, after Charlie Kirk's death, she was like, you know, I'm one of TPUSA's Masons. And not like there's anything bad about the Masons. They're like any other big group. There's like good lodges and bad lodges and lodges that just hang out or whatever. But it could add to like all the theatrics we're seeing as there's all these other gazillion wild news stories going on from, you know.
Well, no, wait. So did she say she was a Mason, or did she just say she was like, or was she saying she was one of the sort of like bricklayers at Turning Point? It sounds like the way you phrased it, it wasn't I'm a Mason, but more like I was one of the, you know, earlier, you know, founders.
No, it's pretty obvious that she's saying like she's Masonic, you know. I sent you the clip, too, if you wanted to play it. She's pretty clear in the video clip.
I'll check it out. But that would conflict with her Catholic faith. You're not allowed to be a Catholic and a Mason at the same time. You'll be excommunicated as a Catholic if you're a Mason, so... I would look into that claim, but that is interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know, I don't know if you knew this with the Masons, but one of their symbols, like the theater mask, so they do all these theatric stuff, you know. And you know, I understand both of your guys' standpoints. You know, you're trying to get to the bottom of this murder mystery story. You know, who done it? You know, but it's unfortunate because it's just the world we live in. We live in the world of in a futuristic world of like bioengineered microchip and viruses, weapons, chemtrails, and Jeffrey Epstein project, Operation Midnight Climax stuff, you know, and this is just how we've seen just in the background here and there assassinations. The Call of Duty video game guy was just assassinated, some people say, in a car crash. We still didn't find out what happened to Seth Rich. You know, there's all these types of assassinations that come and go, and people have a hard time grasping with the reality that there's John Wick-like assassin agencies and intelligence agencies like Mossad and the CIA and MI6 go around murking people all the time.
I mean, they do go around murking people. They also have ways of killing people in ways that are totally undetectable, right? The heart attack gun has been a reality since the church hearings in the 60s, and that was a gun that shot a frozen pellet. So it would dissolve once it hit its target, like it was poison. They would freeze poison into a frozen pellet, shoot it out of a gun. It would go into your body, disperse, melt. So there was no residue, no nothing. And you would have a heart attack. And there was no, like, maybe if they could find the pinpoint, you know, needle prick where you got hit. But that was in the 60s. I'm sure they've got 60 years of advancement through then. I seriously doubt it would be harder than, like, pulling up your name on a list and clicking kill and, you know. I'm sure they have lots of ways of taking people out. So, you know, the fact that it was done in front of everybody is either evidence that the, you know, a Tyler Robinson type person just took him out because, you know, that's where you would take him out as a public place. But if it was a conspiracy, it means that it was about more than just killing Charlie Kirk, because if it's a big conspiracy with all of these powers, with all of these incredible capabilities to kill people, they don't have to do it in front of everybody. They don't have to do it on camera. They don't have to do it in a way that is bloody and traumatic. They do that because they want that, because that's part of the effect that they're trying to create. So if it is a conspiracy, I mean, that was a part of the, that was a part of the calculus, is we don't want to just kill Charlie. We want to make an example out of him. So, you know, and when you talk about if they just wanted him gone, there were ways to get, I mean, they can crash his plane. They can, you know, just anything. And as you point out, go look in the past and you'll see more like that. Now, you did bring up Masons, and I'm glad you did, because I wanted to bring the story up and I'd forgotten about it until you said it. Freemasons seek injunction against a Met policy requiring officers to declare membership. So this is like a bizarre, this came out yesterday, but essentially the Masons are claiming religious discrimination and saying we don't have to reveal that we're Masons. Freemasons have demanded an emergency injunction from the High Court to halt the Metropolitan Police's new policy that orders officers to tell their bosses if they're members of the organization. The Freemasons filed papers in London on Christmas Eve and claimed the Met's policy amounts to religious discrimination against Freemasons who are also police officers. They say they're making up the law on the hoof and whipping up conspiracy theories. The Met has vowed to fight back as it sees the policy as part of its fight to restore trust and credibility. And the case currently under investigation involves claims of Masonic influence and alleged wrongdoing. This is very interesting and goes to show you, you know, America sort of is less involved in this type of stuff than historically Europe is. You know, the Masons come out of the fact that there used to be what would be called like royal monopolies. And so the crown would basically say, you have the monopoly on steel. You have the monopoly on wheat. You have the monopoly as the Masons. And so they would create these guilds that would, you know, serve as the bureaucracies that would, you know, facilitate the economy between, you know, in sort of a halfway controlled economy. So that's where the Masons come from, is it's this outgrowth of these like medieval guild systems that were created by the royals to control the economy. Anyway, it's fascinating. And like Italy is still like run by the mob to a very large degree. Like, yeah, we have mobsters here. We've got secret societies here. In Europe, they're like centuries old, entrenched, powerful forces. And you can see that here in the UK with the Masons. So very interesting stuff. Thank you for the call, Godzilla. Let's go to Master Stefu in California on line 8. Go ahead, Master Stefu. I hope I'm pronouncing that right.
No, Master Stefu. How you doing, Harrison?
Stefu, very good. Thank you. How are you?
Very well. A few things I'd like to cover, if you'll allow me. You were talking about some old school, just to call that up, families that have been ruling the world for a long time. We know who they are. And Alex has talked about this, that there's a list. He came in the room with you, about a half hour ago and looked down, wouldn't look up, and he was all downtrodden, you know.
Seems
oh, there's
shaking,
a
honestly.
List. They're gonna come and get us. You know, and he said, you know what? We got our list, too. And you know we do. We know who's got the list. Lynn's got the list. A lot of people have the list. A lot of people can take care of the list. I know how to take care of the list. You know, and I'm not advocating for violence or anything like that, but there's about 1,000 people on this earth that are causing the problems. And it would only take about $2 to $3 billion in, Bitcoin and about 300 special operators. That shit would be over with, pardon my French, within about a week or two. It would be done. Everybody else would be running for the hills or their bunkers, and they'd never make it out alive. There's that. Also, the Candace thing. You know, Alex should be helping Candace instead of publicly outing her and dressing her down in public. And that's probably why he was looking down. You know, he knows he's wrong to do that. You call somebody up privately and you help them. You're wrong here, you're wrong there. You don't go on the internet. You don't go all over everywhere on social media and say what a jerk somebody is. You know what I mean? And then
kind of, I don't know, this is kind of what the, it's kind of the, I mean, it's,
no,
you know,
you too. Maria Z, she was right. She was right. And then you made her try to look, but she was being right.
What?
Please respond.
Well, what did Maria Z say? I don't even know what you're referencing about Maria Z.
she was being cool about it. Like, let's not be so hard on her. Like, help her out. Like, she's a little off.
Are you talking about Elizabeth Layden that was just in here? Are you talking about the guest we just had?
I think so.
Okay, that was Elizabeth Layden. That's why I was confused.
I'm sorry.
That's right. You're mixing up two very effective lady journalists. Do you think I was being harsh with her?
A little bit, yeah. I mean, I know you're sticking up for Alex, but Alex has been too hard on Candace. In my opinion, he should take her aside and help her to get to the bottom what really went down with Charlie, because we know that the official narrative is bullshit, and we want to get to the bottom of it. And the people that are behind it are the people that are behind trying to kill Trump and have been behind wars and rumors of wars and everything that's since the beginning of time, since God himself warned us about certain types of people. And I'm not saying that they're Jews. They're not Jews. The synagogue of Satan, they're Satanists. Most of them have no affiliation with Judaism whatsoever. It's good versus evil. And you know this. Alex knows this. I know that. Everybody knows it. And it wouldn't be too hard to mop the floor with them without anybody knowing it. And, I mean, I can go on about a few other things, but I feel like that's probably enough. And what do you have to say about that?
Well, I like the last thing that you said. I'll just say about Alex being confrontational. I think that, you know, it's another one of these things that it's like, okay, if you're going to, you know, take this stuff to the public square, I mean, you know, it's just, there's just this like double standard with Candace. It's very weird where it's like, you know, she's like, question everything. And you're like, okay, well, what about this evidence you presented? And it's like, shill, you're a shill. You've been paid off. And it's like, okay, I thought we were supposed to question everything. I thought, you know, if you say that Mitch Snow is untrustworthy, then everybody will throw you to the wolves. But then, you know, on the space on yesterday, Candace is like, I don't even know if I trust Mitch. So it's like, well, then what's the big deal? And if you're going to, you know, be going, oh, we're fearless. We're following this no matter what. And they're trying to stop. Then like, okay, when somebody, you know, comes out and hits you back just as hard, you can't cry foul and say, wait, you're being too mean. You know, it's like, she's a big girl. She can handle it. And at the end of the day, that's what this is, right? I mean, this is, to X is the public square. Like, this is the Roman Forum. This is like, whether you like it or not, you are essentially, you know, living in the Roman Republic, and you're getting to watch, you know, Cicero and Caesar argue a case in front of the town, in front of the city. And that's where these conversations happen. That's what is, you know, going to be written down about in the future. Things can happen in private, but at the end of the day, this is what we're doing. We're in the mix. We're in the forum. We're in the conversation pit, duking it out. So, you know, if you think he's being mean, you know, okay, fine. I think the way I've been treated by Candace's fans is way more like hateful and mean and insulting than anything else. But, oh, but you can't dare push back at them, because then you're the bad one. And, you know, don't you dare say, like, you know, how dare you, like, F off, stop questioning me. They get to question you. They get to be the inquisitors. Like, it's this whole thing. It's just like, so what's the deal? So this is a revolutionary investigation that's going to, you know, shake the pillars of the world, but you have to be nice to me. Like, what are we talking about here? Oh, we're going to investigate everything, question everything, and we're going to get things wrong sometimes. But if you say we're wrong, you're the bad guy and you're evil and you're trying to stop us and cover us up. It's like, nothing is consistent. Nothing is factual. Nothing is logical. It's all just this wishy-washy, whatever happens to be, you know, the argument that's being made at the moment. And I just think it's unhelpful. It's not how you actually run an investigation. So, you know, sorry. And look, it's like, okay, you know what's kind of mean? What's kind of mean is like going on a podcast with millions and millions of viewers or listeners and accusing somebody of being a part of the Charlie Kirk assassination when they're completely innocent. Yeah, I think that's kind of mean. She did it in a very nice tone of voice. But like, oh, you don't think that's mean? You don't think that's kind of a unkind thing to do to somebody? So, you know, okay, it might be unkind for us to say, hey, Candace, you're messing up here, but it's a lot meaner to target some random person with, you know, an avalanche of hate because some random con artist picked his picture out of a lineup. So I just spare me. You know, it's like, okay, it's mean. Well, so is Candace. So take it up with her. That's really how I feel about all this. Thank you for the call, though. I do appreciate it, and I agree with your prescription for what would fix the world. Let's go to Michael in Memphis now. Michael in Memphis, thanks for calling in. You're on line 10.
Hot dog, man. Woo! What's going on, baby? How are you, man?
I'm doing better now, dude. How are you?
Hey, man, I'm good, man. I'm on a freaking fifth of whiskey right now. I'm about to get that bottle right down the cornhole, man. I mean, not down the cornhole, on the pipe pole. You know what I'm saying there? Woo-hoo! All right, what I'm going to say right now, Alex already broke the case right after it happened, man. Steven Crowder told him it was Trantifa, man. I mean, what the hell are we doing? Did you see the look in his little eyes, man? What more evidence do you need? He had those look in his little beady eyes, and he had that tie going, man. You see that little tie going? It's definitely Trantifa, bro, and the furry army. You got to watch out for the furry special forces. They're going to get you. I'm telling you, man. Did you ever see a bunny with a dildo gun? Woo-hoo!
Hey, you're not wrong. You're not. What is it? What is it about the trans and the furries? I saw a chart yesterday that was, normalizing violent crime rates. And it doesn't matter what demographic you're talking about. Trans people out violent them by a factor of two. What is it about the trans community that makes them so violent, Michael?
Well, I'm breaking it, stops. It's the BS assassin. I'm just saying how ridiculous Alex Jones is. Woo! BS assassin for president, baby. I'm back, Harris. How you doing, brother?
I'm all right.
I like that one.
Well, so...
But I'm saying he's calling out Candace, and then right after it happened, he's going, I got the intel from Crowder, man. He said it's Trantifa and a furry. You know what I mean? Like, what the hell is that, man? You know what I mean? So before any evidence, there was no investigation done. So all we have is speculation at this point. And all roads lead to the Zionists, bro.
But let me ask you, why is the Patsy, going through with it? How does that work out?
Because what did we see? We saw a kid on a roof and he jumped. We don't even know if that's the kid, bro. We saw a security team that had no fear of any gunfire. That was clearly in on everything. I mean, we saw a cover up right off the bat. I mean, it was just, we saw people give false statement after false statement from Turning Point USA. So it's like, this is how it has to go down. You gave false statements. You covered up evidence. Those are the first guys you bring in. Those guys, okay, you guys, those are the first guys. You go after them. You say, listen, you guys covered up a freaking crime scene. So you got to lock them up.
You're talking about like the Just Shoot Me guy, the George Zinn guy?
I'm talking about all of them. I'm talking about the whole security team. What the hell? You contaminated a crime scene, man. You know what I mean? Nobody was worried about any other gunshots. Those are the guys you bring in. Those guys need to be deposed in a public hearing, man. We need to see who knows what. Every one of those freaking guys. And every guy from Turning Point USA that was giving false statements about it. That was just blatantly lying. All those guys got to get brought in.
There's been a lot of suspicious activity around it. We've been covering and reporting on it the whole time. I'm excited to see what happens in the courtroom. I'm sure they'll present evidence and everybody will buy it, and then all of this will calm down. I'm sure the court proceedings of the Charlie Kirk assassin, alleged assassin, I'm sure that'll just solve everything. Right? Tell me, please.
So it is absolutely critical that you go to thealexjonesstore.com. And until New Year's evening, we are running a ultra massive sale. Buy one, get one free. So buy one supplement, get any other supplement you want free. Add any supplement to your cart and get any other supplement you choose free. You can mix and match any of our amazing supplements together, and they are the best. Ultra Methylene Blue, tincture and capsules, bovine colostrum, CMOS capsules, Life Force, Ultimate Life Force, Spike Protein, Cardiovascular Detox. Shilajit capsules and gummies, incredible. Ultimate turmeric, 95% curcuminoid. Ultimate power drink mix, which is even stronger than Turbo Force. If you like Turbo Force, you're going to love it. Ultimate power drink mix, two great flavors, now available at TheAlexJonesStore.com. High quality concentrated beef cooking tallow. You asked for it, we got it. Ultra DNA Revival. You like DNA Force? This is even better. It's NAD Plus Booster. It's a private label, one of the top NAD Plus products in the country.
Atomic Defense, incredible immune system boosting system. Ultimate Burn, to help you lose weight naturally. MK Ultra, great for your brain. The Tallow Balm, we never talk about enough. Optimal Human, the ultimate green drink. You've heard Harrison Smith rant and rave about it. It is all available at thealexjonesstore.com, and it makes this entire operation possible. So thank you from the bottom of my heart. Your support, we can't do it without you. Also, InfoWarsStore.com has some limited fish oil and turmeric that are high quality. Also, the collectible fundraiser posters limited edition that I designed. You can also make a straight donation there. We need funds. We got about a $300,000 underage going out in the next few months. We need your support right now. InfoWarsStore.com. You know who you are, the past supporters. I want to encourage those who have been on the fence to take action now. History's happening, and you're betting on a horse that continues to win. Thank you so much.